children in his care, has been jailed for 18 years. I'm LBC's Helen Hoddenott with the details.
To schools, pupils will be allowed to change their gender, possibly, in some instances, children as young as four. Dr. Hilary Cass ordered the Cass Review into transgender care. She says...
Proceeding with a social transition is going to be very much the exception rather than the rule. The overarching view is that this guidance is a huge step in the right direction.
Plus, pro-Iranian human rights demonstrations at that Munich security conference will be speaking with someone leaving the country to go and take part. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer will join more than 50 world leaders at a major security summit in Germany later. It's the first such meeting since President Trump threatened to take control of Greenland. Last year, US Vice President J.D. Vance used his speech in Munich to criticise Europe. Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be America's representative this time. He was asked by reporters about how he'll approach the talks.
I think they want honesty. They want to know where we're going, where we'd like to go, where we'd like to go with them. So that's our hope. It's an important conference. The world is changing very fast right in front of us. The old world is gone, frankly, the world I grew up in. And we live in a new era in geopolitics. And it's going to require all of us to sort of re-examine what that looks like and what our role is going to be.
The government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children. It'll also cover school playgrounds and outside of hospitals in England. Indoor spaces where smoking is already banned would also become vape-free under the proposals. The government has published new guidance for schools in England on what to do when children question their gender. It says schools should not initiate steps towards social transitioning when pupils change their name or pronouns. LBC's reporter Guy Stewart has more details.
Schools unions have welcomed this, saying it provides clarity because it does set out boundaries on how schools should act when a pupil is questioning their gender. In terms of pastoral support, government advice says the vast majority of parents should be involved. And in practice, it means keeping toilets separated by biological sex and the same for sports where there are safety concerns. LGBTQ plus charities say they'll respond in due course.
President Trump has abandoned a legal ruling that limits carbon dioxide emissions in the US. He's rolled back a landmark policy that concludes greenhouse gases are a threat to public health. Donald Trump says revoking it marks an end to heavy-handed climate policy and will save Americans money. And the government is planning to create the first official bathing area on the River Thames in London. The location at Teddington in Kingston is one of 13 locations across England put forward for consultation. Other potential swimming spots include New Brighton Beach at the mouth of the Mersey and West Bay in Dorset. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,402 after closing down 69 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK. Brighter spells and heavy showers for southern England, cold and dry elsewhere, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey Sainsbury's, this Valentine's Day has to be perfect. I'm looking for...
something truly romantic? How about a beautiful bouquet of 14 large premium red roses with eucalyptus? Elegant, thoughtful, and only £25 with Nectar.
That is perfect. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us.
18 plus Nectar required without Nectar £30. Available in supermarkets and online. Excludes locals. Standard delivery from £1. T's and C's and further exclusions apply. Ends 14th of February.
Is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven, Friday, February the 13th. Surely it's a case of sweet FA, as the Football Authority now, Football Association, decides to investigate those comments from Manchester United co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Is it really a job for the Football Association? And are we now saying, when someone says comments that should have been more carefully considered, suddenly they're completely outlawed? We only allow one school of thought. So much for free speech. In other news, as the Labour row goes on, the departure of the Cabinet Secretary, I think that's three key aides gone within a week, or under a week. This man had only been in his job for since December of the year before last, about 14 months. The rows continue between Labour ministers. Here's former Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner taking aim at the government over the lack of support for the hospitality sector. She was speaking yesterday.
We need to do better. We need to recognise the value of this industry economically, culturally, socially.
That's Labour row part one. Labour row part two. Former Prime Minister Sir Tony Blair would seem to have Ed Miliband now in his sights. We should start looking at extracting from the North Sea, something President Trump criticised the UK, not drill, baby drill, when speaking in Davos, Switzerland last month.
The North Sea is incredible. They don't let anybody drill. I want Europe to do great. I want UK to do great. Sitting on one of the greatest energy sources in the world, and they don't use it.
Do you agree with the move that would allow pupils to change their gender at school? In some instances, children as young as four. Staying with children, a truly shocking story of a serial paedophile with a long list of offences given effectively because he can be out having served three courses. He could be out in 12 years. We'll look at that in more detail. And it is, of course, the Munich Security Conference that Lisa Keir Starmer can get out of the United Kingdom for some time. And there will be demos, pro-Iranian human rights demos. Dr. Lale Tingsiri.
I'm Dr. Lale Tingsiri, an Iranian human rights activist living in the UK, and I'll be speaking to Nick about why I'm heading to Munich Security Conference later today.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
And still they cry foul over the remarks made by Sir Jim Ratcliffe speaking with Sky News. We'll bring that to you again in a moment. I'll just say, now that the football, apparently the FA said it will look into those comments. It seems quite extraordinary. We've all agreed the use of the word colonised is an incorrect, and his facts and figures were wrong. But do you actually now want to live in a society where if someone has an opinion, that's it, they are shut down, they are completely criticised by leading politicians, including the Prime Minister, and even their businesses are effectively investigated? The thrust of what he's saying, segregation, there is a fair debate. The language he used was at best clumsy, at worst highly offensive. What were those comments? Well, here is Sir Jim speaking with Ed Conway from Sky News.
At the moment, I don't think the economy is any good. You can't afford, you can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and huge levels of immigrants coming in. I mean, the UK is being colonised. It's costing too much money. It will cause. The UK has been colonised by immigrants, really, isn't it? I mean, the population of the UK is 58 million in 2020. Now it's 70 million.
Now, his numbers were wrong. We said that this time yesterday. But the sentiment, isn't he allowed to express that? That he has concerns about how people, whether we're doing enough for integration? And isn't it a bit rich for the Prime Minister to have Sir Jim in his sights, to have Sir Jim Ratcliffe in his sights? I remind you of what Sir Keir Starmer, Tale of Two Knights, what Sir Keir Starmer said as recent as May.
Nations depend on rules, fair rules. Sometimes they're written down, often they're not. But either way, they give shape to our values, guide us towards our rights, of course, but also our responsibilities, the obligations we owe to each other. Now, in a diverse nation like ours, and I celebrate that, these rules become even more important. Without them, we risk becoming an island of strangers, not a nation that walks forward together.
So the PM's allowed to say island of strangers, although he did subsequently apologise. Now, there was a chorus of condemnation from the government. Here's just a few of those who criticised.
He got his facts wrong, but it's also completely absurd to suggest we're somehow being invaded or taken over, and they're offensive.
The comments that he made yesterday were unacceptable. Our country benefits hugely from its diversity.
Of course we've got to make sure it's well managed, but I also think we've got to celebrate the positive contribution that immigration makes to our country, and that's where I think Jim's got this badly wrong.
I think they're inappropriate comments, and this is a man that's not even in the country, he's living in Monaco after backing Brexit, so it's all a bit odd.
You heard from Justice Minister Jake Richards, Chancellor Rachel Reeves, Health Secretary Wes Streeting, Migration Minister Mike Tappin. Rachel Reeves' instance, I find that quite rich in every sense of the word. Can you imagine Rachel Reeves running a company that takes $60 billion a year? $60 billion a year, employs 24,000 people in 27 different countries, 3,800 of whom work here in the United Kingdom. Rachel Reeves struggles to run a bath. This man runs that extraordinary successful company. But back to the... And who would you rather run in the economy? I know who I'd have. Back to the actual comments. Clark Carlisle is a former professional footballer, chaired the Professional Footballers Association, now an ambassador for Kick It Out, and development executive at Bet No More. Thanks for coming on. Is this a job for the FA? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. And is it a job for the FA? Yes, it is very specifically a job for the FA, because Sir Jim Ratcliffe, a lot of the comparisons that you've run then, you know, you're stating comparisons against, and every person, for want of a better word, people who are at liberty to speak unfettered, their unfettered opinions around various topics, and politicians who will talk the politics of them. But very similar to, let's say, BBC employees who dare to express their opinion, they're actually part of an ecosystem where it is in the laws and rules that they don't. And Sir Jim Ratcliffe is the co-owner of one of the single biggest football clubs in our ecosystem. And
so that prohibits him from having comments then, Clark?
No, it doesn't prevent him from having comments. The FA are looking to see if he's brought the game into disrepute. And the very response, everything that you have just showcased there, all of the responses, show that irrefutably he's brought an aspect to the game into disrepute. But whether it meets the FA's criteria or not is one thing or another.
How has football been brought into disrepute, Clark?
He's brought the game into disrepute because if you have a football club that has had to come out and present statements that these opinions and this position that was espoused by Sir Jim Ratcliffe does not reflect the ethos, value or position of the football club, of its work in the community, that it undermines the work that they are doing for... you know, to integrate different communities in around Manchester, in around the world, the global footprint of Manchester United. You know, it's tantamount to Sir Jim Ratcliffe saying to those, the vast majority of the Manchester United fan base that live outside of the UK, that yes, I will take your money, but you better stay at a distance.
But he has apologised for the language, Clark.
Yeah, I hear he's apologised for the language, and that is welcome. So, you know, you ask what is the recourse? Well, it's not my position to say what the recourse is, but I'll say what this speaks to undeniably, Nick, is there has been a discussion, let's say, a debate almost in football for the past 30 years around the glass ceiling in football, around what is, you know, the level of equity and equality within the game. Now, irrefutably, on the pitch, it is hugely inclusive, you know, and the inherent irony and hypocrisy of Sir Jim's statement when he spent over £300 million since he's been there to actually create new migrants coming into the country and their family. We'll put that to one side. Right. But what it does speak to is when you're talking about opportunity off the pitch, you know, getting into those senior positions at a fantastic institution like Manchester United, you have two candidates. You have one, but both equally experienced and qualified, yep. But one is an immigrant or of immigrant heritage and one isn't. This speaks to the bias in the decision-making in promoting and recruiting said people.
Clark, I must leave it there. Clark Carlisle, thank you. You're a former professional footballer. You chaired the PFA. You're now an ambassador for Kick It Out and development executive at Bet No More. I think perhaps that's laying a lot on Sir Jim Ratcliffe's shoulders he probably wasn't even thinking of. But let's get to the view of someone who chaired the FA and chaired Manchester City, David Bernstein. David joins me now. Bringing the game into disrepute, for me, is a bit of a stretch, but you're far better qualified than I. Where are you on this? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, look, the words were clearly ill-chosen and unnecessary. And interestingly, very much against the ethos of his own club, who really come out against what he said. I mean, Manchester United do embrace diversity, as do all clubs. And his apology, I think, was pretty half-hearted, but I don't really agree with Clark. I think that, as often happens with these things, the words were very ill-chosen. He has sort of apologised, and I think there's a bit of a bandwagon being created here when, of course, politicians jump on the issue and feel they have to respond. So I think, personally, that it was unwise. I think his own reputation has probably gone downhill somewhat because of it, but I don't think this is a matter to be pursued by the authorities.
Can I make
a wider point, Nick, if I may?
Yeah.
I believe that, well, let's confine this to sport for the moment. I believe that sports leaders, whether it be football managers, owners, chairmen and so on, have a responsibility to their own organisations. And I think they're much too quick to come out and make political and social posturing comments. And I want to extend this a little bit to my own club, Manchester City, where Pep Guardiola, who I've got tremendous respect for as a manager, possibly the greatest manager of all time, but nevertheless, he now has made a habit of commenting very strongly on the Middle East issues, which causes great consternation. Be supported by many, but be opposed and upset a lot of people, and it causes division. And I think that when you're representing an organisation, you have to put that position first and your own views second and exercise a degree of self-discipline.
Lastly, a good point you make, David Bernstein. Lastly, how well integrated is football, both on and off the pitch, in your view?
When I was at the FA as chairman, I was asked by the Prime Minister at the time to lead a report into discrimination and so on in football. And we got the whole of football to sign off on a report with 100 recommendations, which have largely been implemented. Now, nothing's perfect.
No.
I have to agree. And certainly, as Clark says, on the pitch, we have a huge level of diversity. But I think football takes a pretty good lead. And I think it's ahead of society in many ways. So I think football has a great deal to be proud of.
David, enjoy speaking with you. Thank you for your time. David Bernstein chaired the FA and chaired Manchester City. And now over to you for your views. Bringing the game into disrepute, that surely is a charge too far. In other news,
a paedophile nursery worker who targeted children in his care has been jailed for 18 years. I'm LBC's Helen Hoddenott with the details.
7:16 LBC News headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer is set to meet European allies at a major security conference in Germany later. Vaping could be banned in cars carrying children under new government plans. And the government has published its first guidance for schools in England on supporting children who are questioning their gender. LBC weather. Rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK. Brighter spells and heavy showers for southern England. Cold and dry elsewhere. A high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the M25 clockwise, heading up towards Junction 17 at Maple Cross. It was after a lorry broke down earlier. It's been recovered, but it's still very slow. Also on the M25, a lorry's broken down clockwise at Junction 11 at Chertsey, so one lane is closed for recovery. On the South Circular Road, eastbound in Eltham, there are restrictions because of an accident, and also it's very busy on the A1 southbound to Apex Corner because of the ongoing works. Only one lane is open. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency works. On the train, Southwestern Railway services are still at a standstill between Alton and Farnham. And also all services to and from Paddington, including the Heathrow Express, are delayed.
This is LBC.
This is your business. This is your business, supercharged with the help of zero accounting software. These are your numbers. These are your numbers, sorted with the help of zero accounting software. This is you.
Hi.
This is you taking business where you want with the help of zero accounting software.
Hello, world.
This is your business supercharged with the help of zero and having your numbers sorted all at the same time so you can finally focus on taking business where you want to. Supercharge your business today with the help of zero.
Search zero with an X.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345-6060-973. LBC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails. There's still time to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and at all protected. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, Chris, you are the first of the callers to come through. I'll be with you in just a moment. Quickly tell you what some of the headlines are this morning. Wow, that would have been a tough night, actually, to edit one of the papers, because there's a couple of real runners and riders to go on the front page. The Daily Mail, Labour opens door to trans children in primary school. That slight caveat, it would be in exceptional cases, but it is true. It's absolutely true what the Mail says. Pupils able to change their gender at school is the front page of the Times. Talking about younger people, the judge has ruled that the killer of 12-year-old Leo Ross, do you remember the young boy who was stabbed while up in Birmingham, and then his killer pretending that he was trying to help him? We talked about this earlier in the week. Well, he has now been named as, is it Kyan? Kyan Moulton, described as a teenage thug obsessed with violence with a long criminal record. And there he is, front page, with a photograph of him on the Daily Mirror. Let's do one political headline for you as well. Rayner turns on Starmer over pubs. That's the front page of the Daily Telegraph. She joins forces with Andy Burnham. The left flexes its muscles to the front page of the LBC app. And they are going with that story. And we will be talking about that later in the show. Angela Rayner and Andy Burnham demand more support for pubs. And let's take one of these at random off one of the websites. Here we go, the Daily Mirror's website. This extraordinary story of Savannah Guthrie and her missing mum, Nancy. I'm a criminologist and four things confuse me. They've spoken to a leading US criminologist there. Sadly, I understand that the authorities have raised the money for any successful information leading to arrest and conviction, but as yet there appears to be no sign. That is an extraordinary story. Right, the story back here is Sir Jim Ratcliffe. As I've said countless times, his facts were wrong. His choice of words was at least questionable. But isn't he allowed an opinion? Chris in Richmond. Is he, Chris? Well, good morning.
Yeah, we're all allowed opinions, Nick. Let's be clear, words have consequences. Let's look back at the last 10 years of Chelsea fans. You know, four Chelsea fans pushed a black guy off a train in Paris and ended up, you know, getting a suspended sentence. There's been plenty of examples. And I've got a personal example, Nick, that people like you need to understand. A French friend of mine was kicked in the head and told to F off back to France 6 months after Brexit.
What on earth has that got to do with Sir Jim Ratcliffe?
Because these people are in authority.
What,
right?
What authority?
Hang on, no, let me speak.
He's not in authority.
Nick, so if he's not, why are we talking about it on the news?
Because he's a co-owner of Manchester United.
Exactly, one of the most successful football clubs in the world. Let me speak, Nick, otherwise I'm just going to hang up. Let me speak and let my opinion, please. All right? This guy has and runs a very successful football club with a fan base all over the world. People listen to him, just like they listen to Farage when he talked about not wanting Romanians next door. Words have consequences. People have to understand that if they behave in that manner, people who are not necessarily great at thinking will take consequences into their own hands. All right? That normalises the behaviour.
Do you not think there's something else going on here? You've got the country's 12th richest man with an enormously successful company taking $60 billion each year, talking about the fact that you can't have 9 million people on benefits. That is an inconvenient truth for the Labour Party. That's partly why they've jumped all over him. But that is true. We can't have 9 million people on benefits in this country.
What's that got to do with him anyway? I mean, he doesn't even live in this country. Yeah, and
well,
also,
he's speaking... Well, hang on. He was speaking at an economic growth forum.
All right, but can I ask a question, Nick?
Yes.
What do you think is the ethnic origin of every single cleaner security guard at Manchester United
this weekend? No, we spoke with this yesterday. A caller from Michael, who's a season ticket holder, said that, he says, I don't know, you virtually don't encounter a British person when you arrive at Old Trafford, is what he says, and I believe
him. That's the point. This is my point. The hypocrisy of it is unbelievable, you know? It's utterly ridiculous. People like that should just keep the opinions themselves as well.
Okay, lastly, Chris, you want a self-made billionaire whose company employs, I think it was 37,000 people around the country, 27,000 people around the world. He's not allowed to have comments about growth because they embarrass the Labour Party.
No, that's not what I said, Nick. You can have all your comments you like about growth, okay? But keep it to the, firstly, keep it to the facts, and secondly, cut out the inflammatory language.
Labour have done a brilliant job now in that what he was saying about benefits sadly will be lost because everybody, even including you, and you're a very bright bloke, even you now have solely focused and drilled down on the lunacy of what he said about colonisation. Even someone as bright as you has been duped. Labour have pulled it off.
Well, what do you mean pulled it off? I don't know.
Because they don't want a row about presiding over a government, of all things, the Labour government, with people not working. 9 million. It is so convenient. If only he hadn't said colonise.
Well, look, we can talk about that for an hour. I agree with you. There are issues with that. Mm. Clearly, there's lots of policies in this government that need sorting. The Employment Rights Bill is not good. We've got AI, which is destroying jobs at the graduate level. The employer's national insurance has gone up. I completely agree with all of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Equally, their inheritance wasn't great, and we need to fix issues like getting closer to Europe and investing in the economy and sorting out young people's education and skills. We can have that conversation, but do it in a way that fixes problems rather than using inflammatory language.
Always enjoy speaking to Chris. Be well. Thank you. 7:26. Now to other stories. This is horrific. You'll have heard the coverage, of course, of the court aspect yesterday on LBC. A nursery worker who conducted a prolific campaign of child sex offences over nearly 20 years, sentenced to 18 years in jail. He admitted 56 offences following a Metropolitan Police investigation. LBC's Helen Hoddenott was at sentencing at Wood Green at Crown Court and joins me now. Helen, good morning.
Morning, Nick. The atmosphere in the courtroom yesterday was one of sickened horror as over the course of nearly an hour, Chan's offences were read out one by one, setting out the scale and depravity of his abuse. The 45-year-old from Finchley looked down at the floor as the parents of some of his victims watched on from the public gallery. His crimes spanned over a decade, pleading guilty to 56 sexual offences, including more than 30 against children. And despite the audacity of his crimes, which he often carried out at a school and nursery where he worked, he was able to operate undetected for years. In court yesterday, Judge John Dodd KC addressed Chan directly.
Every right-thinking person hearing about your offences would feel revulsion and disbelief. Your conduct was utterly wicked, perverse, and depraved. You became a sexual predator and someone who had clearly lost all sense of moral compass.
Victims' statements were read out to the court, which spoke of the burden of trauma that Chan's depravity has wreaked upon the most vulnerable. Police contacted around 700 families whose children attended Bright Horizons Nursery in Finchley to tell them that Chan, who had on Finchley Road in West Hampstead, tell them that Chan, who had worked there for nearly 7 years, was targeting children. Some victims were identified in footage Chan filmed of the abuse at the nursery, but hundreds of families will never definitively know whether their child was targeted by him. One of the couples dealing with the prospect of never knowing the truth shared their story with me. We are concealing their identities to protect their child's privacy.
I remember that he would even refuse to walk when we got near to the nursery building. He would just stop and we would have to kind of pick him up and carry him screaming and kicking inside. Or he would just like cling to your leg when you entered the room and then you'd have to literally peel him off and then hand him to a member of staff because he didn't want to be let go.
I think that's what's causing me nightmares now, because we handed him over to somewhere where a child molester was committing crimes. And that, I think, is a guilt that I'll carry forever.
During that period, we saw him turn inward more. He stopped playing with friends. You could tell as a parent, like, something's not right. But we couldn't put our finger on it.
They're now part of a group of around 50 families launching legal action against Bright Horizons, which operates more than 300 nurseries across the UK. Bright Horizons has released a statement saying Vincent Chan's actions were depraved and devious, and said they have brought forward several internal safeguarding audits. But there are now calls for greater regulation across the early years sector, including compulsory CCTV in every nursery, which the government has convened an expert panel on to consider. Tulip Sadiq is the MP for Hampstead and Highgate, where the nursery Chan worked at was located. She told me why she's spearheading the calls.
I want to make it a safeguarding tool so that we make sure children are protected in the future, and so that Vincent Chan, what he did to so many families and so many young children in my constituency, never happens again, and that parents don't have to go through the trauma and the nightmare that they're living right now.
Nick Chan received an 18-year prison sentence yesterday. Delivering his remarks, Judge Dodd said his guilty plea means his sentence is automatically reduced by a third, and after two-thirds of his sentence in prison, he'll be considered for parole to complete another 8 years of that sentence on extended licence.
LBC's Helen Hoddenott reporting. We'll return to that story in the next hour. Guilty to guilty to five counts of sexual assault by penetration, four of sexual assault by touching, sexual assault on a female, 23 counts, 56 offences in all, and he could be out in 12 years. And never mind the guilty plea, surely that's not enough, is it? We'll get into that in more detail in the next hour. Also, coming up directly after the news.
I'm Dr. Lola Tangsiri, an Iranian human rights activist living in the UK, and I'll be speaking to Nick about why I'm heading to Munich Security Conference later today.
And events back here in the UK and indeed in London.
Nicknames the Trembling Lady, Albert Bridge is used by 20,000 cars each day, but it's been closed since Monday. I'm LBC's Henry Riley speaking to locals to see what they think's going on.
Again, a bridge too far. 7:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister will join more than 50 world leaders at the Munich Security Conference in Germany later. European allies will discuss defence and relations with the US at a time when America's commitment to NATO has been questioned. The government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children. It'll also be prohibited in school playgrounds and outside of hospitals in England. A new government guidance has been published for schools on what to do when children question their gender. It says schools in England should not initiate steps towards social transitioning when pupils change their name, clothes or pronouns. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers for central parts of the UK, brighter spells and heavy showers for the south of England, cold and dry elsewhere, a high of 11 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
I'm really sorry, you have to fire the Chancellor. If I were Keir Starmer, I would be seriously considering using the last lever I can pull to try and show that I am changing and listening and trying to get on with things. And I would fire Rachel Reeves and I would put Ed Miliband in. And now I don't like what Ed Miliband would do, but the man has an idea. He has an ideology. He has beliefs in what he wants to see and outcomes that he wants to achieve. And to that extent, he has more of a plan than the current incumbent.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Nothing beats that electric feeling of live sport. As the proud automotive partner of Team GB, Vauxhall is supporting Britain's extraordinary athletes through every nail-biting, glue-to-the-box moment. Vauxhall is working towards a better future for our nation with its electric vehicle range, including the compact Vauxhall Combo Electric Van, made in Britain for Britain. Head to lbc.co.uk and tell us about your own extraordinary work feats to win £1,000.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Daddy? Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Come on. Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Yeah, I'm one of their biggest fans. I've got all the vinyl.
first saw them at a tiny little place in Camden. Then as festival headliners a few years back. Oh, now that was special. So there's no chance I'd miss their world tour. In London, Lisbon and LA. Good thing I've been saving.
From down the road to across the globe, saving gets you there. Join the millions of people already saving with NSNI. Visit nsandi.com.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:35, we'll talk more about what Sir Jim Ratcliffe is trying to talk about in a moment, but into the world of finance now. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, joins me. And Donald Trump in the headlines again, but looking at something one of his predecessors put in place. More details, if you would, Christian. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. Yes, Donald Trump is making waves in the US. He has reversed a key piece of legislation, a key ruling from the Obama era that dates back to 2009. It was called the Endangerment Finding. And it was this, a piece of research, sort of consensus, settled conclusion from the Obama administration that identified a range of greenhouse gases and labelled them a threat to public health. That was the legal bedrock from which a huge amount of climate legislation and regulation then emerged. And it had a particular impact on the vehicle sector. Now, Donald Trump has reversed it. He said this is going to be part of the largest deregulation in American history. He said that the 2009 ruling was a disastrous Obama-era policy that severely damaged the American auto industry and massively drove up prices for American consumers, because, of course, it put all sorts of obligations and requirements on vehicle makers when it came to their emissions in particular. The White House insists that this will actually lower the cost of a vehicle by $2,400, and Donald Trump claims that there will be a saving of over $1 trillion to the wider US economy by ripping up this regulation, which he says is completely useless. President Obama has responded and said that this is a ridiculous decision, that it will make America less healthy, less safe. But I think what it comes down to is this. Donald Trump can claim that this is a massive piece of deregulation. Whether or not every car maker in the States will suddenly revert to the way in which they built engines before 2009, I don't know, because there are requirements now, regulatory requirements, in almost all other markets around the world for a certain standard of construction of engines and emissions. And if an American car manufacturer says, great, we're going back, we're going to do it the old school way, then they're not going to be able to export those into other markets. Other consumers might not want them. So some might benefit from this, but I don't know. It feeds into the wider Donald Trump approach of massive deregulation, particularly in the energy sector.
Let's come back to events here and the front page of the Financial Times, and it would seem the lead story, most of the business sections concern Schroders. Just remind the listeners, or explain to some listeners, the significance of that firm.
Well, Schroders is one of the oldest independent, what you might call, finance houses. It's an asset manager, money manager, here in the City of London, Nick. It has been in existence since about 1804. It manages about £800 billion in people's money, and it has been listed on the London Stock Exchange since 1959. Give you a sense of quite how venerable this financial institution was. In 1870, they issued the bond to support the construction of Japan's first railway. And they have been listed on the London Stock Exchange since 1959. Yesterday, in a move that really did stun the city because it was simply not being anticipated, Schroders announced that it is going to be taken over by US asset management giant Nuveen for £10 billion. They're going to snap up the entire thing, which means it's going to leave the London Stock Exchange, having been there since 1959. It means that there's going to be a very chunky payout for members of the original Schroeder's family who still retain about 40% of the shares. And it means that Schroeder's is going to remain in London. The new entity, it says, is going to have a huge footprint in London. London will be a major part of it. But it is leaving the stock exchange. It does point to some of the challenges that listed UK companies face in being snapped up by big American players. And as I say, it was a surprise move because only in July last year, the chief executive quashed rumours that there might be any kind of sale. But now that is underway. So 220-year-old Schroeder's, been in the stock exchange since 1959, being snapped up by a large American asset manager.
Why are they taking a bite out of Magnum ice creams?
Well, they... They've got to try and figure out where these sorts of treats fit in a world in which more and more people are taking, what do we call them? Some people call them fat jabs. I think GLP-1s is the more acceptable. You know what I'm talking about. Ozempic and
yes.
all the others.
Yes, Mounjaro, Ozempic and Wegovy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Magnum Ice Cream Company, which don't forget was spun out from Unilever not that long ago at all, it says that they're going to start making smaller magnums because they don't believe that people on these GLP-1s are going to stop eating treats. The chief executive said yesterday whilst he was presenting the company's latest results, or the first results since they were spun out from Unilever, has said that people on GLP-1s don't stop eating treats, they just stop mindless munching and binge eating, and that we're going to recalibrate the size of our products to fit in that environment. And obviously, I mean, they do have to do something because, as I say, they published their first results since they were spun out from Unilever yesterday and listed in Amsterdam. The share price fell. The sales were not as analysts had been expecting. So they say that a part of their new strategy will be catering to people who are on those jabs, who want a little bit of Magnum but couldn't manage a whole one.
Well, I won't have any this weekend, and I'm sure you won't. You'll be watching very carefully. Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk the same time on Monday, 7:40. Now, earlier this week, we spoke with Dr. Laleh Tengsiri. She is an Iranian human rights activist. She told us she's off to the Munich Security Conference taking place this weekend. Indeed, she travels later today, and we'll have her back on the line. Thank you very much for coming back on, Doctor. Remind the listeners of your involvement in this, and, of course, your personal, your family links with Iran. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. Thank you for having me back. Essentially, we are traveling this afternoon to Munich alongside with thousands of Iranians who are joining us from all over Europe and the world. With they have chartered flights and buses and, you know, the atmosphere and what's happening in terms of showing their solidarity and unity with the Iranian people. The voiceless Iranian people at the moment, I should say, because of the thousands who have been killed, who have been arrested and who have been tortured and are being tortured every single minute. Despite all this, we still don't have the global and international support that these people deserve. And we are going to be in Munich on the Global Action Day to show our support and solidarity and shout out loud who is our leadership, which is the Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi.
Doctor, how many people do you think you will be joining there in Munich, and what specifically will you be doing?
I think the Munich police has estimated about 200,000 people, but I would go for at least 500,000 Iranians in Munich today. And it's not only Munich, it's many, many cities all around the world. And the major cities would be Los Angeles, Toronto, and Munich. And the importance of Munich is because of the security conference and that the Crown Prince himself would be holding a speech in the conference, and he would be on the stage with us, the Iranian diaspora, gathering around the stage of 1,000 people in Munich.
Lastly, Doctor, as we're speaking and you have family there, people are being arrested, people are being tortured, people are possibly being killed. Why do you suppose the world doesn't appear to be listening as carefully or as closely as it should?
I think the world is just, you know, it's one thing after another. They are just, it's like, you know, this is about courage. And I think the first countries who show their courage and support are those people who in future us Iranians, we understand they stood by us. They were on the right side of history. They stood up to the killings and the terror regime in Iran. And definitely us 10 million Iranian diaspora and in the people like myself in exile, we would understand which parties, which politicians were alongside with us, who listened to us, and they will be the people who would have our vote the day that they have election in these countries. We would not forget who was by us, because this regime has essentially lost its legitimacy. An example for you, Nick, if you go on Amazon and try to buy a flag, an Iranian flag, try to buy the flag for the Islamic Republic, it would be at your house by this afternoon. Try to buy the true flag of Iran, which is the sun and the lion, you will not get it because it's out of stock.
Right. I wish you safe travels and success to you and your colleagues. Thanks for coming on the show again, Dr. Laleh Tangsiri, the Iranian human rights activist who is estimating hundreds of thousands of people will be in Munich. Come to events back here from Munich to Manchester and the Manchester United co-owner. This is what you're saying about his comments and the reaction. Rick in Blackpool. Starmer finds Ratcliffe offensive, but having appointed someone who had close to weak links as our ambassador to a paedophile, not offensive. I know what normal people would find more offensive. VJ says we're all being gradually gagged and not allowed to speak freely and express our opinion. Ratcliffe has expressed an opinion. The FA has got nothing to do with it. By the way, I believe he's right in saying what he did. It's a joke we have 9 million people claiming benefits. VJ, that's why Labour were climbing all over him, because that is the inconvenient truth that Labour isn't working and more people are out of work, and they've been able to effectively biff all his comments into touch now because of ill-advised, careless and offensive words. One last one, Jerry in Croydon. I have to say I think he's right. This sort of immigration cannot go on. We need better integration. And for me, you can only bring the game into disrepute if you're a player or a manager. Oh, no, they're all getting together in a cabal to try and drown him out because he's made the point about those who are on employment benefits. All right, coming up after the news. Fancy a dip, as you've heard on the LBC News Bulletin. Communities will benefit from what are known called bathing spots proposed across England. But how exactly would they work? And then in the next hour... ambitious research supporting individuals with disabilities who want to go into space. But are you prepared to take part in a trial? No, you won't be going to space, but you will be helping with that. And I'll give you more details later in the show, indeed in the next hour. It's just on 7:46, LBC News headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
Europe's relationship with the United States is expected to dominate talks at a major security conference in Germany. The government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children in England. A new guidance has been published for schools in England on what to do when children question their gender. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers for central parts of the UK, brighter spells and heavy showers for southern England, cold and dry elsewhere, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 12 at Flitwick. It's following an accident where only one lane was open. But in the last few moments, all the lanes are back open and it's still very slow. But on the M25, there are anti-clockwise queues from Junction 13 at Staines to 11 at Chertsey after an accident. Very busy on the South Circular Road eastbound to Eltham, and that's also following an accident where one lane is closed now for recovery. On the trains, Heathrow Express, Great Western Railway and Elizabeth Line services are delayed to and from Paddington. It's because of problems with the overhead wires. On the underground, the Waterloo and City Line remain suspended and Waterloo Underground Station is closed. And there are minor delays on the Metropolitan Jubilee and Piccadilly lines.
This is LBC.
We get it. Making tax digital can sometimes feel daunting. But with Xero's HMRC recognised software, you quickly get to feeling confident. If you're a sole trader or landlord whose income tax is going digital, not only is Xero MTD ready, it also gives you better control of your finances, like having the clear financial visibility you need every quarter to avoid end-of-year tax surprises. Change the way you see MTD. Search MTD Ready with Xero.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Do you know your state pension age? No. Maybe you're not sure, or you don't know how to check. It's so quick and easy to check online. All you need is your date of birth. Knowing your state pension age helps you think about your future. So check yours today. Search State Pension Age on gov.uk and simply enter your date of birth. State Pension Age. It's good to know.
Selling your car can be super simple. If you choose We Buy Any Car, because they sort out any outstanding finance for you. Just bring along your final settlement agreement. If only they could make parallel parking simpler.
To the right a bit, mate. Yep, yeah, back. Back a bit. Bit more. Oh, no, too far.
We Buy Any Car. Selling made simple. To sell your car today, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
At Lidl, we value getting everyone round the table this pancake day. Make sure to top up on toppings from the fresh produce retailer of the year. Us. Such as a 4-pack of lemons and fun-sized apples. Both for just 69p with Lidl Plus. Lidl. More to value. Subject to availability. Selected stores. GB only. Offer ends 18th.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 10 minutes before 8. Fancy a dip? All right, it's unlikely in this weather, I know. But let's celebrate. Spring surely is around the corner, and hopefully the weather will change. The rain has to give up eventually. And then maybe you would want to have a dip in one of our rivers. Well, here with more details of what's going to be made available is Emma Hardy, Minister for Water and Flooding. So she would have been a very individual for most of this year, I would have thought. Joining me now. Minister, what is the initiative that you and your colleagues are putting forward so we can all enjoy our waterways a bit more? Good morning to you.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me back. So this is all about restoring pride into our local communities. We're announcing 13 new bathing waters. That makes our total 464 across England. One that's caught many people's eye is the one in Ham and Kingston on the River Thames. It'll be the first one on the river in London. But there's also a gorgeous one, the Pangbourne Meadow, which is an area that inspired the Wind in the Willows. That's another one of our bathing sites. And by making them designated bathing sites, what that means is they get weekly tested by the Environment Agency. That information's put on SwimFo. But also we look at that information to determine where is pollution coming from. So is it coming from agriculture? Is it coming from sewage? Is it coming from road runoff, etc.? So that you can work at source to tackle it and try to prevent it. And so we can only do this because we've got the biggest ever workforce of enforcement on water quality from the Environment Agency. So I'm hoping this is going to be a great boost to local tourism so people can feel confident about going for a dip. But I agree with you. Definitely not today.
What are the tests that will take place? What will the agencies be looking for?
Well, they're looking for a whole range. They'll look at things like E. coli. They'll look at chemical pollutants. One of the things from our PFAS plan, actually, we were looking at is looking at thresholds around PFAS and potential chemicals as well. So a huge range of different chemicals that they'll go away and look at. And what they'll do on their website, though, to make it really straightforward for anybody sort of looking at it, is it will just clearly say whether or not it's safe to swim and all of that comes on SwimFo. But I have to tell you, Nick, that I went to Scarborough a couple of weeks ago with my mum for a walk along the front. And there were two ladies in a swimming costume, obviously part of a swim club, because one of the women on the beach had a jacket on with the name of the swim club, walking into the sea in Scarborough in January in just a swimming costume. So there are some hardcore wild swimmers out there.
I thought you were going to say your mum suddenly stripped off and dived in and went out for half a mile and came back. So I'm rather relieved to hear it was the professionals. If we come from Scarborough back to the Thames, an area that I know quite well, how can proceeding with the Teddington Direct River abstraction be compatible with your plans for that part of the river?
Well, I mean, obviously, the development consent order for Teddington will be worked through. All of that information will be collected. And one of the things that you do look at whenever you're looking at doing any kind of work is the impact it will have on flow, the impact it will have on the river. I mean, that particular part of London, that Ham and Kingston bathing area, the reason why it's been designated, to be honest with you, Nick, is because people are already swimming there. And how the designation process works is areas of the country where people are already swimming apply for official designation status. But, and the reason they want to apply is so they can get there.
But you are familiar with what the Teddington Direct River Abstraction, it's not in place yet. You are aware of what it can lead to, are you?
Yes, and it will be looking at, yes, it will be looking at more abstraction. Well,
It will take tens of millions of litre of water a day, very near where this proposed bathing site is, and replace it with treated effluent from a nearby sewage works. Now, it hasn't gone ahead, but it is applying to go ahead. Indeed, it could later this year make a formal application to the Secretary of State. And you're putting a bathing spot there. Why?
Well, yes, because when the water that returns from the water that's treated, and again, I have to stress that it has to be part of the development consent order and there is an entire process, but any of these sites that do this, when the water that's returned has to be of a certain quality. And I think I get why people get icky about it. I get people think, oh, hang on, you're taking water from a sewage treatment works and you're putting it into the river.
But yes, the water, and then you're declaring that a bathing site. People, people are swimming in treated effluent.
I get how that sounds, Nick, but the water that returns...
It's the reality.
I'll reassure you then, the water that will be returned has to be of a certain high quality. It's not just, you know, squeeze out the lumps and put it back in the river. You know, it is actually treated at the sewage treatment works before it is returned. And it has to be of a certain standard. And if it's not of a certain standard, then it is not allowed to be discharged. This is entirely different to sort of the storm overflows and all those pictures that people have seen of sewage going out into rivers, lakes and seas. This is treated water from a sewage treatment works that would be returned, that has to meet certain environmental standards.
When is this all likely to be in place, particularly the Richmond or Ham area? When will that be available?
So the 6 weeks consultation, I'm assuming everyone's going to love the idea, so it should just go through fairly straightforward. So it would be May. So it would all start in May. And from May, that's when you get your weekly testing. And then you'll start getting information on swim.
And you would be prepared to go swimming in treated effluent in Kingston?
I would be prepared to go swimming, obviously with no cameras, because there's no way I'm getting a shot of me and my cozzy.
That would be wholly inappropriate. But you tell me you would swim in treated effluent once it's passed the necessary checks later this year.
Yes, if the SwimFair website said it was safe to do so. And I do want to stress that point because I think it's really important. Obviously, I want to get to a situation, Nick, where no one needs to check the website and everyone can go swimming whenever they want. But at the moment, because we're working through a huge upgrade programme in terms of our storm overflows, my advice to everyone is check SwimFair, have a look at what the test says. If it's safe, go get your cozy on, put your trunks on, enjoy yourself. Let's hope this gives a good boost to tourism in that local area. And it will be great. But I do want to stress again, water coming out of a wastewater treatment works is treated. It's not, you know, as I say, question of just putting a bit of water back from the sea. It's not the same. This is entirely different to a storm overflow.
All right. Coming to our last minute or so together, I remember in a previous conversation you told me and my listeners that you were a teacher. Indeed, you taught in primary school for more than a decade. I wonder if I can get a response to you from the story that pupils will be allowed to change their gender at school and use different pronouns, including, in some rare instances, children as young as 4. Are you, having been a professional teacher, knowing these children far better than I and many of my listeners, are you wholly comfortable with that, Minister?
Well, I had a look at this really carefully, Nick, because it is serious. And I think we need to start from the point that this guidance is about putting children's welfare at the very heart of it. And also, speaking as a teacher, I know so many teachers that have been desperate for guidance who genuinely, you know, don't know what to do for right in some of these situations. I think on the point of young children, I think it's so important that we're very, very clear. It does say these will be extremely rare situations, and only if speaking to the parents, and only if there was clinical evidence and reason as well. So I think that point needs to be made really strongly, because I've seen some stuff on social media that hasn't sort of recognised we are talking about extremely rare, speaking to parents, and if there was clinical evidence. And the only reason you wouldn't speak to parents about something of this nature would be if there were serious safeguarding issues. So I think we just need to... This is about trying to get something right that has been incredibly difficult for teachers, incredibly difficult for parents, and difficult for some children. And I know, I remember listening to your show once, actually, where you had a lady phone up about her child and issues around transition. It is a sensitive matter. But of course, you know, this is a consultation on this guidance. It's 10 weeks. If there are parts of it where people think, you know what, you've got that totally wrong, then I really urge them to respond to that consultation and let's look at this. But let's look at this remembering kids come first. Let's not make it into political football.
And lastly, on kids come first, we go even younger. You might not be aware of the case of Vincent Chan. He's admitted 56 charges, including sexual assault on children, on nursery children. There is a call now for the government to look at the introduction of mandatory CCTV in nurseries and what's called a child care workers register. Again, you've worked with children this a little bit older this age. Is that something you would support?
Yeah, really interesting one, because before I was a teacher, I worked as a nursery nurse. And some of the nurseries, some of the nurseries I worked in did have CCTV. And I remember the parents used to really enjoy it because they could drop the kids off. Because, you know, when you often parents drop the children off and they're sort of, you know, all upset and parents really worry. And then they get through the door, see the toys, and they're smiling and happy. Sure. So there was some CCTV. And other ones I've worked in, they haven't had it in place. But I know it's just awful. I mean, that story is
horrific.
More than horrendous.
So do we look at mandatory CCTVs, Minister, and what's called a register as well, register of staff?
I wouldn't want to speak on somebody else's area because that would be disrespectful, but I'm sure that whatever needs to be done to protect children in nurseries, that action will be taken.
Thanks for your time. Try and keep your mum out to the sea, won't you, next time you go walking in Scarborough, and good luck. I look forward to that dip perhaps later in the year. Emma Hardy, Minister for Water and Flooding, saying... But with these arrivals of these 13 sites, including that one in the Thames, we can all go for a dip where the weather improves. We're off to the news now. 8 o'clock, LBC News headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Sir Keir Starmer is set to meet European allies at a major security conference in Germany later. They're expected to discuss defence and relations with the United States at a time when America's commitment to NATO has been questioned. It's also the first such meeting since President Trump threatened to take control of Greenland. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio is heading to the talks and was asked by reporters if they'll include the Arctic Territory and the future of Ukraine.
We live in a new era in geopolitics, and it's going to require all of us to sort of re-examine what that looks like and what our role is going to be. Greenland? Oh, I'm sure somebody will raise it, you know. We're working on that. We feel good about it.
Do you expect to meet with President Zelensky when you're there?
I think so. I think he's going to be there, and there's a chance to see him. I believe it's on my schedule. I'm not 100% certain, but I'm sure we will.
The government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children. It'll also cover school playgrounds and outside of hospitals in England. Indoor spaces where smoking is already banned would also become vape-free under the proposals. The government has published its first guidance for schools in England on supporting children who are questioning their gender. It says schools should not initiate steps towards social transitioning, such as pupils changing their name, pronouns or clothes. Instead, they should consider carefully what other support children might need, including involving parents. Advice also states that toilets and changing rooms should be protected spaces used according to biological sex. President Trump has abandoned a legal ruling that limits carbon dioxide emissions in the United States. He's rolled back a landmark policy that concludes that greenhouse gases are a threat to public health. Environmental groups say they will challenge the ruling in the courts. And the government is planning to create the first official bathing area on the River Thames in London. The location in Teddington in Kingston is one of 13 locations across England put forward for consultation. Other potential swimming spots include West Bay in Dorset. The Water Minister, Emma Hardy, has told Nick it comes alongside plans to cut water pollution.
By making them designated bathing sites, what that means is they get weekly tested by the Environment Agency. That information's put on SwimFo, but also we look at that information to determine where is pollution coming from. So is it coming from agriculture? Is it coming from sewage? Is it coming from road runoff, etc.? So that you can work at source to tackle it and try to prevent it.
In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,402. It closed down 69 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK. Brighter spells and heavy showers for the south of England, cold and dry. Elsewhere, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
So, John, you think Argos is just good for toys?
Well, no, I...
Trevor, show him what he's missing.
This sleek Bose SoundLink Bluetooth speaker. Brilliant bass, eh, John?
No, there is more to Argos.
Get the latest tech and more on the Argos app today. Subject to availability in selected stores and argos.co.uk.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Friday, February the 13th. Coming up in this hour, we go back to one of the grimmest stories I can recall. The nursery worker who preyed on children, jailed for, I'm going to say, just 18 years. By the way, he won't serve all of that, but provided, of course, he doesn't set fire to the jail or whatever. We're looking at that and looking at what measures might be needed to try and ensure that crime of that ghastly scale never takes place again. There are other stories we're covering. Labour Civil Wars Part 1. Here's former Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner taking aim at the government over the lack of support for the hospitality sector.
We need to do better. We need to recognise the value of this industry economically, culturally, socially.
Plus, Labour Civil Wars Part 2. Former PM Tony, now Sir Tony Blair, direct contradiction to former Labour leader Red Ed Miliband about exactly what to drill, baby drill. Here's President Trump talking at Davos, Switzerland last month.
The North Sea is incredible. They don't let anybody drill. I want Europe to do great. I want UK to do great. They're sitting on one of the greatest energy sources in the world and they don't use it.
Back into politics. Do you remember that flurry of new signings for reform a month or so ago? Well, Nadim Zahawi, now with reform, will give his first broadcast interview, and that'll be later in this hour. Plus... I'm up in space now. Up in space now. A bold and ambitious initiative to support individuals with disabilities going into space. Have more details on how you might get involved. No, I can't get into space, but you could get involved. And that's later in the hour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Unsurprisingly, we covered this in the first hour of the story of this nursery worker, and unsurprisingly, many of you are appalled at the sentencing. Just to remind you, I won't go through too much of the detail because it is extraordinarily upsetting and unedifying, but the nursery worker, Vincent Chan, who was 45, admitted 56 offences after a Metropolitan Police investigation uncovered more than 1 million indecent images and extensive evidence of abuse dating back to 2007. Now, in his sentencing remarks, Judge John Dodd, who is a KC, said his behaviour, Chan's behaviour, had been confined to looking, watching and recording, but this changed when he began working at the nursery. In May 2024, a whistleblower reported that Chan filmed children who were clearly distressed and crying or wetting themselves. He then set the footage to music, saying that it was humour. Now, there's some tough listening, and I apologise, but I do need to tell you, he pleaded guilty to 5 counts of sexual assault by penetration, 4 of sexual assault by touching, 1 charge of sexual assault on a female, and 23 counts of taking indecent images of children, 6 charges of making indecent images of children, 6 counts of outraging public decency, and 11 counts of voyeurism. 18 years? I know he pleaded guilty. I understand that. 18 years? Seriously? He has to serve at least 2/3 and would then spend a further 8 years on licence. I'm saying that's nothing like enough, but let's go back to the sentencing that I referenced at Wood Green, Crown Court. Judge John Dodd, KC.
Every right-thinking person hearing about your offences would feel revulsion and disbelief. Your conduct was utterly wicked, perverse, and depraved. You became a sexual predator and someone who had clearly lost all sense of moral compass.
And one couple whose voices we've changed to protect their anonymity told LBC of the concerning changes in their son's behaviour.
During that period, we saw him turn inward more. He stopped playing with friends. You could tell as a parent, like, something's not right, but we couldn't put our finger on it.
I think that's what's causing me nightmares now, because we handed him over to somewhere where a child molester was committing crimes. And that, I think, is a guilt that I'll carry forever.
I remember that he would even refuse to walk when we got near to the nursery building. He would just stop and we would have to kind of pick him up and carry him screaming and kicking inside.
Let's bring into the conversation Munira Wilson, who's Liberal Democrat education spokesperson, the Dem MP in Twickenham. And I know that you have measures that you want to talk about going forward, but can I just get a word from you first on the sentencing? Munira Wilson, some of my listeners are utterly appalled by this. Where do you stand? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, first of all, can I just say my thoughts are with the families of all those who are affected. This is, I mean, it's hard listening to you again. And when I heard the revelations first before Christmas, it's harrowing, disgusting, disturbing. And I'm a parent of two young children myself. If I were one of those parents, frankly, no amount of time in jail would be long enough. And I totally get where you're coming from. I'm not sure what the sentencing guidelines are on this. I hope he's got the maximum and he stays for the maximum amount of time. But sadly, we had a very similar case in Twickenham. It wasn't sexual abuse, but it was child cruelty last year. The woman was jailed for 8 years last September, but she only served a few months because she's since been deported to Poland and will probably walk free there. So, you know, parents need to see justice being done.
Let's look into the future. You have some measures that you would like to see implemented and some suggestions for the government. Munira.
That's right. Sadly, this Chan case is not isolated. I mentioned the Twickenham case. There's been another case in Bristol, just this week as well. And the death of a baby up in Greater Manchester in Cheadle, where a nursery worker was convicted of manslaughter in 2024. I and my colleague Tom Morrison have been campaigning and calling for the government to introduce compulsory CCTV in nurseries. And we're also calling for a register of childcare workers. And these are measures that actually the Australian government has recently introduced. I think they're piloting CCTV and they're introducing the register because of similar cases
over
there.
How would the register work, Munira Wilson?
So it would essentially, if you were working with children, there would be a register that is held that has got details of your past employment history, your qualifications. One of the issues that emerged in the Twickenham Green case, where I've obviously been talking to the parents a lot through the court case, it emerged that the perpetrator, there had been red flags raised about her behaviours in a previous setting that weren't known to the Twickenham Green nursery. The parents also assumed she did have some basic training and qualifications. Again, it emerged through the court case that wasn't the case. So I think tracking qualifications and past history is really important for providers to see. I mean, obviously, there'd have to be a discussion about how much of that information is directly available to parents. But I think if Ofsted and providers were looking at these registers and you know, practitioners knew that these details were being collected, that would act as one of the deterrents alongside CCTV. TV, which I have been calling for.
Lastly, on the CCTV aspect, noting that some of these assaults took place in the toilets at the nursery, you would have CCTV cameras in the children's toilets.
Well, I think
you've got to do it. There's no point messing about.
So the government has something that I do welcome. The government has set up an advisory group to look at this. I think they need to look at the workability of whether you could really have it in every area. Clearly, it's not a silver bullet, Nick. But the key thing with CCTV is not only did it help catch the criminals in many of these cases, but it can act as a deterrent if you're monitoring that CCTV regularly, and it can act as a training tool. So I think there is real value in introducing CCTV. CCTV, how, in which rooms it's rolled out, whether it can be rolled out in every part of a nursery, and, you know, how many, whether it can be in all childcare settings. That's something that experts need to work through with the sector. But I think it should be a question of when, not if.
Well, I want to go to a legal expert on sentencing, Alison Miller, in a moment. But while I have you on the line, can I have just a comment on a couple of other stories? You are an education spokesman for the party. Pupils will be allowed to change their gender at school and use different pronouns, including in some rare cases, I want to stress that word, as young as four. Wholly comfortable with that?
Well, I think we need to ensure that parents are involved as much as possible, and parents and children and teachers together. As you pointed out, I think it says it would be extremely rare with young children. I think the main thing is that we are supporting children that are questioning their potentially their identity. And I think one of the things that comes through in the draft guidance, remember it's out to consultation for parents and teachers and children to feedback, is that it talks constantly about the best interests of the child, and therefore that needs to be put at the forefront, if a child is saying that we want a different pronoun used or to socially transition, is that in the best interest? And that needs to be a joint discussion with the parents wherever possible.
And lastly, you and I have talked a lot about water quality, not least because you represent, of course, Twickenham, a large stretch of the Thames there. And there is a proposal now that once the water has been treated, apparently, that part of the water, or just up from where you are, people will go swimming there, swimming in treated effluent. Are you ready to have a dip?
I'm not a keen swimmer myself, Nick, but I'm delighted that bathing water status has been achieved. I supported the application that was put in by the local swimmers and bathing enthusiasts. What I would say, how on earth can Thames Water be allowed to continue with the Teddington Direct River abstraction?
This is just my notices. This is what is going to pump the treated water back in. On you go, Muneera Wilson. Sorry, just remind me.
Exactly. You can't have bathing water status with high quality water if you're then pumping treated effluent from the local sewage works back into the water. So I very much hope that ministers will step in and take these damaging proposals off the table.
Grateful for your time this morning, Muneera Wilson, Liberal Democrat education spokesperson and MP for Twickenham. Right, let's get straight to my next guest, and apologies to have kept her waiting. Alison Miller is head of the abuse team at the law firm Lee Day. Now, they're acting for 50 families whose children attended the Bright Horizons Nursery. Joins me now, my goodness me, you'll have had some harrowing testimony and work to go through with these poor families. What is the nursery saying? How have they responded in your view? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I was in court yesterday with a number of the families. A number of the other families attended online, and it was a really awful hearing, as you can imagine, to listen to the litany of the charges that Chan has admitted. Bright Horizons has released a statement, we understand. For the families, though, they feel very strongly that not enough was done to keep their children safe.
Where are you on the ideas put forward by that MP a few moments ago, mandatory, compulsory CCTVs and some kind of national register?
So the families involved in this case have had similar ideas. They do feel that CCTV in nurseries would be a good idea, but they don't see it as the be-all and end-all. In the Bristol case that was mentioned, that person was able to very sadly rape and sexually assault children despite CCTV being in that nursery setting. So it cannot be the answer by itself. What the families in this case have been calling for is a system whereby parental concerns could be given and tracked by an independent body, so that there would be someone to complain to other than the nursery provider, who's, you know, it may not be in their interests to take a long-term approach to make sure that staff in the nursery setting are properly looked at over time to make sure there are no red flags. So they would like a better parental reporting mechanism.
Can I lean on your legal expertise, Alison? 18 years, satisfied with that sentence? Were you surprised? Are you aware of what the tariff might have allowed for?
So I'm not a criminal lawyer, Nick, but I was in court with the families, and the prosecution told the judge that the maximum sentence for these appalling crimes was a life sentence. And for many of the families, you know, they feel that he should have got the maximum sentence because of the scale of his depravity. And so to the extent to which that you know, the sentence is not a life sentence, then, you know, families are disappointed by that. They are glad that he will be serving an extended period in prison, because they feel a long extended period in prison is the least he deserves, really.
One aspect that was brought out lastly, Alison, in some of the newspaper coverage, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that many of the parents simply don't know whether their child or their children were or were not a victim of this vile paedophile. Do you know that to be the case?
Yes, that is absolutely right, because Chan has only been convicted and sentenced for those offences that he recorded. We can never know the full scale of his offending. Obviously, families want answers as much as possible, but the police have told the families that they may never be able to give them full answers of what Chan did. Obviously, that is a completely unacceptable situation for the families. They produced a community impact statement, which was read out in court and was taken into account by the judge. That, you know, this great uncertainty is something they have to live with every day of their lives now.
Thank you for your time. I'm sorry if I've delayed you this morning. Alison Mill, I'll let you go. You're head of the abuse team at the law firm Lee Day. You're acting for 50 families whose children attended that nursery. A lot of reaction coming on. We'll get to that. We're already at 8:18. LBC News headlines quickly then. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer is set to discuss future relations with the United States when he meets with European allies at a major security conference in Germany. Vaping could be banned in cars carrying children in England under government plans. And a government minister has told Nick new guidance for schools on what to do when children question their gender is about putting young people first. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK, brighter spells and heavy showers for southern England, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Traffic's being held on the M40 southbound just before the M25 junction. It's following an accident and there are queues back towards Junction 2 at Beaconsfield. On the M25, there are anti-clockwise queues from Junction 13 at Staines to 11 at Chertsey, and that was after an accident. And the M1's still very slow southbound to Junction 12 at Flitwick after an accident, but all the lanes have been open for a while. On the South Circular Road in Eltham, there are eastbound queues towards the A2 junction, and that's also after an accident. The Waterloo and City Line remain suspended because of the safety checks at Waterloo, so the underground station remains closed, and severe delays on the Elizabeth Line to and from Paddington because of the overhead wire problems.
LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto, from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At newlizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit newlizprosperity.com.
A Southern Train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save one third with off-peak group tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
You can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
With a Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Lidl, more to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability. Ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/lptv.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
8:22. William, you'll be the first caller. Is it me? It probably is. It normally is. But 10 counts of sexual assault by various means, because I won't go into detail again. 23 counts of taking indecent images of children. 6 of making indecent images of children. 6 of outraging public decency. 11 counts of voyeurism. And Vincent Chan gets 18 years. Franca says, registration for anyone working with children and vulnerable adults. Yes to cameras in the nursery. The most delicate area, though, is the changing areas, because children are stripped, and then you have to manage issues of access and how those videos are managed. Lee asks the question, many, why on earth do Chang's superiors not stop him sooner? Surely they're being held to account. They are now. Will says, this person needs chemical castration or hanging. Too soft in this country. Those poor children. Vile. Will, thank you. William in Carmarthen. Your reaction to this story, William. It's one of the most horrific I can remember in a few years, actually. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, horrific it is. But justification, 18 years for what he's done, that equates to probably about six weeks for each child that he's abused and traumatised for the rest of their lives, and the parents traumatised for the rest of their lives.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, yeah.
How really can this sort of crime be justified with 18 years in prison?
Well, as we heard from the lawyer,
after 12.
Yeah, the parents were the tariff would have allowed for life, and some of the parents were looking for that term.
Yeah.
Had you been the judge, I know, by the way, which I'm going, I'd have consulted with the necessary clerks and others and said, what's the absolute maximum? And I would have just gone for it. Life. Done.
But it is still no justification for all these poor children who's going to live with this in their life. Their parents are going to live with this in their life. And, you know, I can refer back to the Lost Prophets, where I think he had his justification in the end, to be honest. But still, that's a different story.
Well, let's hope he does at least the 18 years. I don't know. One other thing, without being too explicit, he's going to have a pretty tough time behind bars. And I know this speaks poorly of me as a human being, but he deserves every second of it. William, thank you. Richard's in Finchley in the area. Richard, what can you tell me? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. I'm from Richard. I've run a early years provision and have done for nearly 30 years. So I thought I might be able to answer some questions as well as...
Do you mind my asking, do you have CCTVs in your facility?
No, and I don't think it would be allowed.
I see.
You can have CCTV stuff outside, say boarding houses or around toilet areas. There would be an absolute no-go for many obvious reasons.
If it was to be brought in for areas outside, i.e. classrooms, passages, hallways, would you be supportive of that?
Yes, yeah, I would. Yeah.
But how are we going to stop any inappropriate behaviour taking place in a bathroom?
Well, you're never going to be able to stop anything. You can help make children safer, but you're not going to be able to stop anything. I mean, one of the ways you can help stop it, my insisting that no child's ever alone in the bathroom, for example,
Do you mind my asking what you do? Do you sort of ensure that staff have to double up if a child, you know, has wet itself or something? What is the procedure, would you say, Richard?
100%, yeah. Staff would double up. There'd be instant reports if a child, for example, had wet themselves. There would be instant reports. It would go to the manager. There'd be a whole process involved. So everybody knew this had happened. And we would know that there wasn't a particular member of going to the bathroom every 10 minutes with a child. Mm.
The biggest challenge, lastly, for you and your colleagues providing the service and the work you do, what is it, Richard?
Well, can I say three things?
Yes,
quick things?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Number one, I think the DBS check system is outdated, it's slow, and it needs to be way, way easier to check staff quickly. Mm-hmm. Number two, employment law needs to be on the side of children, because at the moment people are scared to either bring up an issue or suspend staff because they're worried about being taken to tribunals. And I'd say the third thing is councils, local authorities need to have much more money, because we've gone to them to ask for help and on many occasions, and they can't give it because they don't have the people to look into some of these things.
Good luck for the work you're doing, Richard. Thank you. 8:26. Let's go on to other matters and yet another Labour civil war, this one involving the Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner and Mayor of Greater Manchester Andy Burnham. They were speaking at the Nighttime Economy Summit in Liverpool yesterday.
We need to do better. We need to recognise the value of this industry economically, culturally, socially.
These are social spaces that bring people together, that bring life, that bring joy, that bring all of the good things in life. And you've got to start, in the eyes of, if you like, the tax system, the planning system, consider them critical infrastructure.
A stark message there for Chancellor Rachel Reeves. Remember, they promised growth. Well, in the final 3 months of last year, the economy grew by just 0.1%. That's growth for last year for the entire 12 months at 1.3%. Meanwhile, Andrew Sentence, a former Bank of England policymaker, said the UK is on course for the, and I quote, most dismal decade for growth in 100 years. But back to that sector, or that particular group last night, the nighttime economy sector in Liverpool yesterday. Alan Simpson is CEO of UK Hospitality. He was both at and spoke at the conference in Liverpool and joins me now. What was the main thrust of what your address contained earlier this week? Morning to you.
Morning. Well, mostly I was just talking about very similar things. The sheer impact of the last two budgets on not just the nighttime economy, but the whole of the leisure and hospitality sector. We've seen 100,000 job losses in a year. That's a historically unprecedented hit on one sector. And that's only going to continue unless we see some sort of solution.
Have you got a rate? Often when we have conversations such as these, you hear a pub is closing every other day or every week, or a restaurant or something like that. Do we have any figures such as those, Alan?
Yeah, you can assume that just because of the business rates changes over the last year, we'll see 2,000 hospitality businesses close over the next year. So yes, it is an absolutely clear, stark and historically unprecedented threat that the sector faces. And that was the main topic of everyone I spoke to at the Nighttime Industry Association conference this week.
Do you think the big Labour beasts, Andy Burnham and Angela Rayner, genuinely get it, or they're using it for political purposes and perhaps to boost their own campaign?
I don't know, but if they want to do something good for our sector for their own reasons, I'll take that one. I think, look, we are absolutely seeing a situation where over two budgets, one sector and one sector only was asked to bear the brunt of what's happened financially to this country. Hospitality pays 75% to 80% of its profits in tax. The average, let's say, financial services company, to give you an example, pays about 35%. We've seen national insurance contributions push people out of work. We've seen business rates push businesses out of business. We're about to see a holiday tax push the ability of people to go out on holiday away as well. And we do need to see solutions to these things.
Lastly, the government would say there was a partial U-turn on business rate hikes last month, and there have been other moves towards keeping business rates pegged. How would you respond, Alan Simpson?
Well, it's not enough because we are still seeing closures. And by the way, pubs were not the only people affected. Pubs' business rates are going up by 75%. Hotels, so the Great British Holiday, that was going up by well over 100%. So there's a lot more to be done.
Are Labour MPs still being banned from coffee shops and bars and restaurants and pubs and hotels?
Yeah, I think they are. I've heard stories of Labour MPs going back to their constituency and not being able to get a pint or a coffee. I would like to see a situation where that doesn't need to happen anymore. But I can absolutely understand why landlords and small businesses across the country think, well, look, you are putting my business at risk, and I can't serve you. But let's get to a position where by the end of the year, the government have done something sufficiently significant that sort of anger fades away.
Alan Simpson, your CEO of UK Hospitality, thanks for your time. You were at that conference. We might look at that in more detail, particularly if you are, as we've taken calls before, you're running a pub, you're running a restaurant, you're running a bar, whatever it might be. But let's go back to that flurry of defections to Reform UK last month, the most eye-catching of which was...
I'm here today to tell you all, and of course the British people, that Britain needs reform. Britain needs Nigel Farage as Prime Minister.
Former Conservative Nadim Zahawi, he'll have his first broadcast interview to explain why after this. It's 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News Time with Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer will join more than 50 world leaders at the Munich Security Conference in Germany later. European allies will discuss defence and relations with the US at a time when America's commitment to NATO has been questioned. The government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children in England. It'll also be prohibited in school playgrounds and outside of hospitals. And a government minister has told Nick that new school guidance on what to do when children question their gender is about putting young people first. The advice says schools in England should not initiate steps towards social transitioning when pupils change their name, clothes or pronouns. LBC weather. Rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK today. Brighter spells and some heavy showers for the south of England. Cold and dry elsewhere. A high of 11 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents,
we'll be asking what Jim Ratcliffe, the INEOS boss, meant when he said the UK had been colonised. Is he wrong? Is he out of his depth? Or has racism just become the new normal?
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maiklis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doom-scrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save one-third with off-peak group tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
How does a $20 golf gadget end up being used as a bomb detector in war zones worldwide? I'm Alice Levine and this is Explosive Lies, the podcast exposing a scam that fooled governments and security services across the globe. Open our free Global Player app and search Explosive Lies to start listening today.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £45 million.
It's so exciting, I could do the splits. Whoa. Oh, should have stretched first. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming tourists, cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:34, we'll take your calls on the hospitality sector in just a moment. As I said before, the news headlines, the most eye-catching of that flurry of signings for Reform UK is the politician sitting opposite me now. In fact, it had such impact, I think it brought social media a screeching halt. Here can explain more is former Education Secretary Chancellor of the Exchequer, and of course he chaired the Conservative Party, Nadim Zahawi, the great Zahawi, sitting opposite me in the LBC studios. Good to see you, Mr.
Good morning,
Zahawi.
How
is
are
it right? You crashed the internet or something?
For about, probably about 48 hours.
Why? Why did you say that?
I guess slow news day maybe, I don't know.
Right,
it was an important moment. It was an important moment for me, suddenly.
Yeah, tell us about the courtship.
So I tell you, look, even before the courtship, if you think about country ahead of party, if you think of your family, your community, your country, as James Orr would tell you, there's only one conclusion you can come to. And that is, we've got to get round Nigel Farage, build capacity, build experience, a team that can actually hit the ground running, because the current lot, I mean, I have to say, there's a lot to apologise for the previous administration, which I was part of, and as you just quite rightly outlined, I was Education Secretary, Chancellor of the Exchequer. A lot went wrong in the end, but it took us 14 years. I mean, this lot's taken them, what, 18 months? I can't believe every morning I wake up. And, I mean, what happened last night with Chris Wormald, who's the most senior civil servant? This guy is cabinet secretary. I mean, the machine doesn't work if there's no cabinet secretary.
We'll come to that.
It's extraordinary. So anyway, so my reflection was, look, I can either leave the country and be, you know, one of these non-doms yep. that can go and live in, you know, Milan or Monaco or Dubai, or I can fight for my country. So it's, yeah, fight or flight. And
but you mentioned
Nigel
Mr. Farage.
Yeah.
You know what's coming.
I know. I'll never be able to live with Nigel.
I'm as British as you. I would be frightened to live in a country run by you. Well, that's quite a change.
Yes, and when the facts change, you change your mind. Nigel and I met several times, introduced by Nick Candy, and I watched him on the international stage. impressed me enormously. He was not a sycophant, you know, wasn't overwhelmed by extraordinary Middle Eastern wealth or anything else that he saw before him. He pushed back when he needed to. But also, when he saw the facts on the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood, which I had spent quite a while showing him, I sent the same evidence to Kemi and to Rob, who were both obviously conservatives then. Didn't hear back from Kemi. Rob came back, said very sensible, but I just don't think the Conservatives have got appetite for this. Nigel came straight back, said, look, let's look into more details. Let's put a small team look at this properly. And then I get a phone call saying, I'm going to put it in my speech at the party conference. And it'll be a pledge by Reform that we will prescribe the Muslim Brotherhood in our country. And I thought that was impressive. My membership lapsed in December. I allowed it to lapse in the Conservative Party. And then make the big, you know, the big decision early in January to come across.
Well, it is a big decision. You said some years ago, been a Conservative all my life and will die a Conservative. Was it almost like a death in the family? Or I know you've not been divorced, or divorced.
It's huge. But again, I say this to you, I think this is the last chance this country's got to turn things round.
Why the last chance, Mr. Zucker?
Because I tell you why. The economy is in
speech, by the way, from someone who was Chancellor and chaired the party.
Well, the economy is in terrible shape. You know, we celebrate no growth or anemic growth when the US economy, and people tell us, oh, but big economies don't grow the way the sort of the global South is growing. Not true. Look at the US economy. Incredible growth coming through. Our streets are not safe. You know, I know people like, you know, Fraser Nelson will tell you, but murder rates are down. But the reality is, you try and walk anywhere in London, Manchester, Birmingham, anywhere, you don't feel safe, right? You look at what happened in Birmingham with the Aston Villa Maccabi Tel Aviv match. You know, who is controlling our streets? Certainly not the police force in that case. All that stuff needs fixing, in my view. Immigration, any other country in the world, and I've, you know, done many jobs, I've traveled around the world, that gets 66,000 illegal men of fighting age from some of the worst war zones, worst places in the world, they'd call a national emergency. It'd be like the pandemic, right? The Prime Minister would go on television, we have a national emergency, we're going to enact national emergency legislation to stop this.
Mr. Zahawi? How would you stop it?
I can tell you very, very strict. When I was in cabinet, right, and I was then running the cabinet office, we had to come out from the European Convention on Human Rights. You can't do it otherwise, because actually, even a derogation, some of my colleagues, Ben Wallace was saying last night, but you could have a derogation. It's rubbish, right? You've got to come out, because what will happen is the lawyers will tie you up in knots in the courts. Nothing will happen, right? If those people coming across know that within 24 hours they're being processed in Rwanda, right, they won't come across.
You'd bring back Rwanda.
I would, or a similar sort of process, right. Offshore processing, right? What we can't have is what we've got at the moment is literally, just think about this, 66,000 men of fighting age from the worst places in the world are living in hotels. They're going to move them out of hotels because it's a PR spin thing, right? Put them in HMOs, houses in multiple occupancy, to then, you know, we have a government that basically is run by press release.
You're sounding like a political equivalent of Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Is he right what he said?
He was right. I think
choice of words?
I don't know whether you saw my tweet at 6 a.m. When I saw the headlines. I think there's one word that you can argue he could have chosen a better word.
The word being colonised.
But ultimately, right, if you've got 12 million people that have come in between 2000, right, you got his dates wrong slightly.
He meant 2000 or 2020,
right,
in a sense.
12 million people, as my great friend Rob Jenrick said yesterday, more people have come in from the time Tony Blair took office to today than the previous 1,000 years. 12 million people is an extraordinary thing to happen to any culture, any country. Walk down the Edgware Road, Nick. Walk down, you know, parts of Birmingham. Walk down, you know, lots of parts of our country. You wouldn't recognise them. I would much rather see, like my parents did, integrate, right? Be proud of this country. You come here. If you come here, you should absolutely absorb our culture.
But is it the
absorb
fault of the folk living in Bradford and Leicester and Blackburn? Is it their fault? Why is it that they're not integrated?
Well, I think it's a combination of a government that's always, both local government and central government, shied away from being muscular.
Well,
about
you chaired the party.
Don't disagree with you. And I say to you, you know, we made I said it in my tweet about Jim Ratcliffe, we made a terrible error on allowing migration to rise to almost a million people a year net, right? That was a mistake, and you have to admit your mistakes before you can fix them in the first place, right? It's the scoundrels today, the Lib Dems, Labour, the Greens, would want all of us just to focus on, oh, this is terrible racism. Oh, isn't it awful? You know, people are going to be offended. Footballers might be even offended. Well, actually, the footballers, I would say to you, are the sort of immigrants you want because they pay big taxes here. Look at the UAE, right? They've got a 10-to-1 ratio of immigrant to local indigenous people, right? 10-to-1. But the local people love it. They celebrate it. They back their government. Why? Because the 10, 11 million immigrants have jobs. But they pay the taxes, indirect taxes, which are very efficient taxes in many ways, right? And when they don't have a job, they have to go home.
Yours is the classic British success story in that you came to this country. I don't think you even spoke a word of English when
Correct.
You arrived here.
Yeah.
And you've gone on, you've held great offices, Chancellor of the Exchequer. Many would say you are, A, you're punching down now, and B, you're displaying signs of racism.
Quite the opposite. I want, actually, a healthy society where we celebrate immigration. We bring the best and the brightest from the world. In fact, they're going the other way. It's not just the billionaires and non-doms and millionaires that have left these shores and are living in Dubai and UAE and elsewhere. It's the young talent, the 30 to 50-year-olds, who have decided they're going to make home somewhere else because they can't actually keep most of their hard-earned wealth in their bank account. I want to celebrate the best immigration. What we've got at the moment is low-skilled migration in the millions, right? That's probably... by the way, it's unsustainable. Nick, we will go bankrupt. Right?
Well, isn't that the point? I mean, where you and I differ.
We have to have this debate. I thank Jim Ratcliffe because actually his misspeaking has actually raised the debate to a level where we're actually people like Nigel saying, hold on a second, let's talk about this. Let's just discuss, is this really sustainable, or should we have a big, big change in our country about how we deal with migration?
Can I put my clumsy interpretation of events here? Because the first part of what Sir Jim said about 9 million people is unsustainable is right. And it's rather convenient for the Labour Party, such as Rachel Reeves, to pile in on the, wrong use of the word colonised.
Correct.
Because that means we lose all sight of what Sir Jim was trying to say.
Because it's what scoundrels do. They hide because the reality is to deal with the problem is much more difficult. Much more difficult, right? It's much easier.
So now we can write off everything.
Just to write off. He's a racist. This is terrible. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with a healthy society, a community that is cohesive and celebrates what is best about our country.
Do you feel safe in London?
No. I've got to tell you.
And for your children?
Yesterday, I walked from my home in one of the most areas of London. And an individual walked past me. I literally walked off the pavement into the middle of the road, kept a very close eye at 8 a.m. right?
What was this individual? Did he appear to be drunk? Did he appear to be aggressive?
He just looked he hadn't slept for a week and just looked like somebody that might be violent. I don't know. But I just walked and, away from the pavement to walk. And I'm a big guy.
Yes, right? You are.
And I don't feel safe that my 13-year-old can walk in London. That can't be right. You know, we have to basically send a very clear message to every police force that if you need additional help, the weasel words from the West Midland Police Force was only because they took the soft option. It's the same with the rape gangs, right? The reason they never dealt with it at the time, because it's too difficult because, we might be labelled racist. That's why they didn't actually take those poor girls seriously. It's awful. It happens all the time. Do you remember that poor cinema manager who was showing a film that offended a group of people who then went and were supposed to be coming to talk to him, but of course all had their faces covered were very aggressive. They took the film off. Why? Right?
No,
that was during our administration, right? I would have done the opposite. I would have said, if I were, you know, and I regret not doing this stuff. If I were Home Secretary, I'd be calling the Chief of Police saying, listen, you, if you need help, we'll send the army in, right? We have to send a very clear message to every community that you can't just go on the streets and threaten others.
This is as punchy as I've ever known you. So the last minute or so we've got together, you're only going to be able to help put this right if you're part of a reform administration. So you're going to seek election again as an MP, you're going to go to the other place. What's going to happen?
Look, whatever Nigel decides, ultimately, in many ways, what I like about what I see from Nigel is he has a very clear agenda. He wants to be...
So you're going to the Lords?
I don't know.
And you can
whatever,
serve as
whatever he decides that he'd like me to do, I will do. I want to be part of that team that walks into number 10 and actually gets things done.
But you'll have to be in the House of Lords to do that, wouldn't you?
It's really... Look, ultimately, the decision is for the party leader... if and when we win the election.
You sound like a frustrated Home Secretary at the moment.
Well, I'm very frustrated because I worry about my country. I want this country to be the best country in the world. I want people to be investing. I want growth to be at, you know, well, 3, 4, 5%.
So, Andrew, as former Chancellor, Mr. Zawi, and Andrew Sentence, someone you probably know well, Bank of England policymaker, Britain is facing its most dismal decade in a century.
It's awful.
Businessman and Chancellor Nadim Zawi.
It's broken, but it can be fixed. And we will fix it at reform.
Lastly, you rightly referenced, I think it's now 3 key posts around the Prime Minister, all gone within the space of a week, so Chris Warmod leaving. It does seem an extraordinary place now, number 10, doesn't it? He's in office but not in power.
Correct. It's a government that basically currently is run by press release. There's no one there. Where is the Prime Minister going out there and saying, right, here's my vision, here's what I'll deliver, hold me to account. If I don't deliver these things, I will step away. Right? Doesn't say that. He says, "Oh, I want to fight for this thing." He's being buffeted by his own majority. You think? Just think about it for a second.
I know.
Angela Rayner,
Boris
right?
Johnson,
Angela
Rayner have a
held
majority,
the party,
yeah.
And you can ask her this question. Right? In number 10 and number 11. Right? When she passed the job destroying bill that I call it. Right? The act that will absolutely destroy jobs in this country because small, medium, large businesses would be much more reluctant to employ people. Do you know what they sang? The red flag. And you can ask her that question, right? That's the state of affairs in our country. Passing a bill that would destroy jobs and singing the red flag and thinking that's how we're going to get growth back in. It is... If it wasn't so sad, it would be laughable.
It would be the thick of it, wouldn't it? I've got to go. We've got to get to the headlines. Thank you so much for coming by for the first broadcast. I'm Nadim Zahawi here on LBC 849, LBC News.
Leaders from around 50 countries, including Keir Starmer, are heading for talks at a major security summit in Germany. Rules are being tightened around vaping in public spaces in England. And speaking to Nick, a government minister has warned that new school guidance on what to do when children question their gender shouldn't turn the issue into a political football. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK. Bright spells and heavy showers in southern England, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are long delays on the M2 eastbound to Junction 2 at Stroud. It's because of an accident. The road is partially blocked and there are delays back to Junction 1 at the A2. Also delays on the M40 southbound to the M25 junction. Now, this is after an accident that happened earlier and traffic was being held. It's all been released now, the traffic, but it's still very slow. And then on the Surrey stretch of the M25, it remains very busy anti-clockwise from Junction 13 at Staines to 11 at Chertsey. And that was after an accident that happened earlier. Well, these big problems on the trains continue. Heathrow Express, Great Western Railway and Elizabeth Line services all delayed to and from Paddington because of overhead wire problems.
This is LBC.
At Tesco Mobile, club card prices are frozen, so your contract price stays on ice. Get the Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra with 25 gigs of data for just £46.99 a month for 36 months with club card prices, saving you a massive £486. And it stays like that for the length of your contract. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 24th of February. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
All right,
resistance, sir. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto, from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, so my GP referred me to the CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours, I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS. Fit for the future. Available England-wide.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
6 minutes before nine, my conversation with Adam Zahawi, exciting, a lot of interest. We'll try and get into that a little bit later in the show. We will definitely come back to that vile nursery worker and a sentence that just isn't up to scratch. But let's come to something I've mentioned already, which is a very bold and ambitious project aiming to support individuals with disabilities to go into space. And indeed, they're looking to sign up recruits, not to go into space, but enough from me. Let's turn to the person who can explain all the facts and figures. Neil Tucker, Chairman of Airability in the studio. Good to see you, Neil. Thanks
Hi,
for coming.
Neil, how are you doing, all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, sir. Right, tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do. Tell us a little bit about what you're after.
Okay, so Airability has been around for 30 years, changing the lives of people with disabilities through aviation. And, you know, 40, 50 years ago, people with disabilities were driving around in little green cars with three wheels. Yeah, you know, yeah, the things. Yeah. And now it's an accepted thing to see people disabled driving normal cars. Mm-hmm. Also, as you know very well, we fly aircraft, which is what Airability is all about.
Yeah, I've got a colleague who does it. Yeah,
exactly. And he does it very well, to be fair to him as well. Well, yeah, okay, a bit iffy, yeah. But so that's accepted now. And you've got commercial pilots who've got disabilities as well. So now there's not just the next natural small step, but the giant leap for what we're coming to space.
You should have been a journalist.
So the reality is we want to get people with disabilities into space because 24% of the UK population live with a disability. It's a crying shame. It's such a waste of talent.
What sort of disabilities are we talking about?
Well, at the moment, so it's physical disabilities at the moment because it's such, it really is the early stages. And this is the opportunity for people to get involved because what we want to achieve, what the UK Space Agency and King's College want to achieve is everybody with a disability can go into space. Not just Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin sort, like, you know, the fine athletes like you and I are. But, you know, the reality is space tourism. You've got to have the ability to set a baseline for health because if people are going to space, obviously there is the risk associated with it.
The King's College you reference is in Camberwell in southeast London. They're going to be doing tests there, are they, Neil?
Correct.
Talk us through that.
What we want and what we need is for people to get involved in a clinical trial. Now, it's nothing more than literally laying on a bed for 20 minutes, which I'm sure the
average disability you'd need to.
So what we're looking for is people with lower limb amputations,
right,
either unilateral or bilateral, also able-bodied people as well, over the age of 18, to come to King's College London, take part in a clinical trial. And I can't overplay this enough, Nick. It really will have a huge effect on the future of space travel.
How do people get involved?
So if you go to our website, www.aerobility.com. That's aerobility.com.
Yep.
They'll see a big link there. They can click on that. Once they click on it, there's all the information they can need, and they can sign up for it as well.
When? When's it all happening?
It's from the 16th to the 27th of February.
Oh, okay, so we're right on the sweet spot.
Yeah, do it, come on. Okay, you can get your expenses paid as well, you know.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you pay for a train fare to come down or whatever.
Well, it's normal standard expenses provided as well. So the point is, it's a bit of good fun. It's getting your expenses paid, but more than this, you really are contributing to something huge.
Well, on the cusp as well. How does the UK stand globally in exploring space travel?
Well, it's quite interesting. I was saying to you earlier on that the reality is that people are kicking the UK at the moment, I think. But when it comes to disabled flights, space travel, the UK, and working with ESA, to be fair, the European Space Agency, we really are leading the world. In fact, the first disabled astronaut will be a British guy, a chap by the name of John McFall.
When will that be?
2027, I believe.
Fantastic. Good luck. Neil Tucker, you're chairman of Aerobility. I'm going to spell that out, and we'll put a link from our website as well.
Thank
Aerobility, Aero, A-E-R-O, and then Ability, as in mobility, Aerobility, all one word, .com. Neil Tucker, good luck. Let us know how you get on.
That's all, Nick. Thanks
for coming to you. Chairman of Aerobility. 3 before 9 is the time. Let's talk about the sentencing of that vile nursery worker, Andy in Amersham, 18 years. Could have been life. What would you have given him? Good morning.
a lot, as much as possible, really.
Yes.
But yeah, I was listening to your show, and I was just thinking about the dilemma of, first of all, having CCTV footage, loads of footage to review and stuff.
Yep.
It's no point if no one reviews it because it's too much work.
You don't but think also, it would be a check on someone who, and my God, you've got to be sick and depraved to even think about it, but who's thinking of going to molest, assault children, if he or she knows there are cameras all over the place. You don't think that's a deterrent?
I think it is a deterrent, but only if they know that it's being looked at, and there's if something's done, then there's a high chance that they'd be picked up on, and also the issue of covering areas like bathrooms and changing rooms and stuff that are obviously sensitive. But my thought, I'll try to keep it brief, is basically that current day and age. The sensitive areas, obviously, there's the human element that's a problem. You can't have recorded footage of children getting changed and stuff.
No.
But then what about taking out the human element of the analysis? So leveraging AI analysis and stuff, you can have all the raw footage. It's all encrypted, not accessible to anyone.
Why do you want to do people out of jobs, lastly, Andy? That's
well,
my
this,
only worry.
This could be
not, is that no one will have any jobs if we're not careful.
Well, yeah. That is always a concern. But I mean, if you could get AI to analyze the raw footage in sensitive areas or in just generally footage, and then at the end of it, there'll just be a review stage.
Andy, thank you for that. And the thoughts you're going to. The music means we must move on. Coming up after the news, we go back to that punchy interview from former Conservative Education Secretary and Chancellor and Chairman Nadim Zahawi, speaking for the first time in a broadcast interview why he sees the future as Reform UK.
I think this is the last chance this country's got to turn things round. The economy is in terrible shape. We celebrate no growth.
Plus, the policy that will allow children to change their gender at school in some instances, and I do stress the word some, children as young as 4... And Labour Civil War Part 2. This time it's Ed Miliband in the sights of former PM Sir Tony Blair, who says North Sea drilling is vital for the nation's economy. Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, leaders from around 50 countries, including Keir Starmer, are heading for talks at a major security summit in Germany. They're expected to discuss defence and relations with the United States at a time when America's commitment to NATO has been questioned. Last year, the US Vice President J.D. Vance used his speech in Munich to criticise Europe. Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be America's representative this time. He was asked by reporters about how he will approach the talks.
I think they want honesty. They want to know where we're going, where we'd like to go, where we'd like to go with them. So that's our hope. It's an important conference. The world is changing very fast right in front of us. The old world is gone, frankly, the world I grew up in. And we live in a new era in geopolitics.
And it's going to require all of us to sort of re-examine what that looks like and what our role is going to be.
Rules are being tightened around vaping in public spaces in England. The government wants to ban it in cars where there are children. Smoking and vaping will also be outlawed in playgrounds and outside of schools under the proposals. The government has published its first guidance for schools in England on supporting children who are questioning their gender. It says schools should not initiate steps towards social transitioning, as such as pupils changing their names, pronouns or clothes. Instead, they should consider carefully what other support children might need, including involving their parents. Government minister and former teacher Emma Hardy has told Nick it's about putting young people first.
It's a sensitive matter, but of course, you know, this is a consultation on this guidance. It's 10 weeks. If there are parts of it where people think, you know what, you've got that totally wrong, then I really urge them to respond to that consultation and let's look at this. But let's look at this remembering kids come first. Let's not make it into political football.
President Trump has abandoned the legal ruling that limits carbon dioxide emissions in the United States. He's rolled back a landmark policy that concludes greenhouse gases are a threat to public health. Donald Trump says revoking it marks an end to heavy-handed climate policy, and it'll save Americans money. And yellow weather warnings for snow and ice remain in force across parts of the UK as forecasters warn of icy roads and travel disruption. Two alerts for Scotland and the north of England are in place until lunchtime. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 22 at £10,427. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK. Brighter spells and some heavy showers for the south of England. Cold and dry elsewhere, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
I've got that feeling. Yeah, butterflies in the stomach. Yeah. My heart is racing. I'm smiling for no reason at all. Yeah. I can't think about anything else.
Well, what's their name?
It's Škoda.
With 0% APR for 3 years across the Škoda range with Solutions PCP, it's love at first drive. But this love story ends March 1st, so visit škoda.co.uk. Indemnities may be required. Maximum 36-month term. Škoda Finance.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after nine on Friday, February the 13th, in the first broadcast interview since he defected to Reform UK. Former Chancellor Nadim Zahawi says this is almost the last chance for the United Kingdom. He's mended his fences, he's put all those differences with Nigel Farage, and he stands ready to serve whatever that might mean. We'll replay some of that, and his views on Sir Jim Ratcliffe's stance and language are intriguing, at the least. Meanwhile, in other news, the idea that children will be allowed to change gender at school. Water Minister and former teacher of a primary school for more than 10 years, Emma Hardy, told me in the first hour.
We need to start from the point that this guidance is about putting children's welfare at the very heart of it. And also, speaking as a teacher, I know so many teachers that have been desperate for guidance who genuinely don't know what to do for right in some of these situations.
Plus, former Prime Minister Sir Tony Blair seems to agree with US President Donald Trump that it's drill, baby, drill. Meanwhile, Ed Miliband, who's in a position of power here in the UK, said it should be killed, baby, kill. I'll be asking, who's right?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
In a wide-ranging conversation, his first since defecting from the Conservatives, remember the man who said he was a Conservative, he was born a Conservative, and he would die a Conservative, Nadim Zahawi, the former Chancellor, talked about how he was wooed by Reform, accepted that there were many, many, many mistakes, said he should have done more when he was in government, not least the area that's been touched on by Sir Jim Ratcliffe, particularly the integration as opposed to segregation of the arrivals in this country. But we started with asking him, why did he decide to be probably one of the most eye-catching defections to Reform UK?
I say this to you, I think this is the last chance this country's got to turn things round.
Why the last chance, Mrs.
Because I tell you why. The economy is in
speech, by the way, from someone who was Chancellor and chaired the party.
Well, the economy is in terrible shape. We celebrate no growth or anemic growth when the US economy, and people tell us, oh, but big economies don't grow the way the global South is growing. Not true. Look at the US economy. Incredible growth coming through. Our streets are not safe. I know people like Fraser Nelson will tell you that murder rates are down. But the reality is, you try and walk anywhere in London, Manchester, Birmingham, anywhere, you don't feel safe, right? You look at what happened in Birmingham with the Aston Villa Maccabi Tel Aviv match. You know, who is controlling our streets? Certainly not the police force in that case. All that stuff needs fixing, in my view. Immigration, any other country in the world, any other country, and I've done many jobs, I've travelled around the world, that gets 66,000 illegal men of fighting age from some of the worst war zones, worst places in the world, they'd call a national emergency. It'd be like the pandemic, right? The Prime Minister would go on television, we have a national emergency, we're going to enact national emergency legislation to stop this. We just, live with it.
But what would that legislation be, Mr. Zahawi? How would you stop it?
I can tell you very, very strict. When I was in cabinet, right, and I was then running the cabinet office, we had to come out from the European Convention on Human Rights. You can't do it otherwise, because actually, even a derogation, some of my colleagues, Ben Wallace was saying last night, but you could have a derogation. It's rubbish, right? You've got to come out, because what will happen is the lawyers will tie you up in knots in the courts. Nothing will happen, right? If those people coming across know that within 24 hours they're being processed in Rwanda, right, they won't come across.
You'd bring back Rwanda.
I would, or a similar sort of process, right. Offshore processing, right? What we can't have is what we've got at the moment is literally, just think about this, 66,000 men of fighting age from the worst places in the world are living in hotels. They're going to move them out of hotels because it's a PR spin thing, right? Put them in HMOs, houses in multiple occupancy, to then... we have a government that basically is run by press release.
You're sounding like a political equivalent of Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Is he right, what he said?
He was right. I think...
choice of words?
I don't know whether you saw my tweet at 6 a.m. When I saw the headlines. I think there's one word that you can argue... he could have chosen a better word.
The word being colonized,
but ultimately, right, if you've got 12 million people that have come in between 2000, right, you got his dates wrong slightly.
He meant 2000, not 2020.
Right. 12 million people, as my great friend Rob Jenrick said yesterday, more people have come in from the time Tony Blair took office to today than the previous 1,000 years. 12 million people is an extraordinary thing to happen to any culture, any country. Walk down the Edgware Road, Nick. Walk down, you know, parts of Birmingham. Walk down, you know, lots of parts of our country. You wouldn't recognise them. I would much rather see, like my parents did, integrate, right? Be proud of this country. You come here... If you come here, you should absolutely absorb our culture.
But is it the absorb fault of the folk living in Bradford and Leicester and Blackburn? Is it their fault? Why is it that they're not integrated?
Well, I think it's a combination of a government that's always, both local government and central government, shied away from being muscular.
Well,
about,
you chaired the party.
Don't disagree with you. And I say to you, you know, I said it in my tweet about Jim Ratcliffe, we made a terrible error on allowing migration to rise to almost 1 million people a year net, right? That was a mistake. And you have to admit your mistakes before you can fix them in the first place, right? It's the scoundrels today, the Lib Dems, Labour, the Greens, would want all of us just to focus on, oh, this is terrible racism. Oh, isn't it awful? You know, people are going to be offended. Footballers might be even offended. Well, actually, the footballers, I would say to you, are the sort of immigrants you want because they pay big taxes here. Look at the UAE, right? They've got a 10-to-1 ratio of immigrant to local indigenous people, right? 10-to-1. But the local people love it. They celebrate it. They back their government. Why? Because the 10, 11 million immigrants have jobs. They pay the taxes, indirect taxes, which are very efficient taxes in many ways, right? And when they don't have a job, they have to go home.
Punchy and energetic, but is he right? Yeah. Ali in Oldham. Ali, you're on the radio. What can you tell me? Good morning.
Oh, hi, Nick. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. What's your view, what you just heard from Mr. Zahawi?
Well, it's a complete balderdash, isn't it? And, you know, you normally, when you interview Labour figures, you're like a bulldog chewing a wasp. Mm-hmm. But with him, you just lay down and just let him, tickle your tummy. What's going on, Nick?
what is it specifically you're talking about?
Well, it's quite easy for him to say, oh, we made a mistake, we did this, we did that. You know, under the Conservatives, the number of immigrants, you know, rose to its highest level.
He did say that. He said they let a million in their last year, and he said that was totally wrong.
Oh, okay, well, that's all right then, isn't it?
No.
But who...
Right, go on.
Yeah, so who started putting, immigrants in hotels?
The Conservative Party, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Labour are trying. They've only been in, 18 months. The Conservatives have been in, 14 years. All these things, all the, structural problems, we're facing now, the foundations were laid in their time.
Well, January, the last month that we've come through, the last January, was 900 arrivals. That's the highest figure ever for January. The numbers are only going one way. Labour's one-in, one-out policy is clearly just a mere distraction, and the numbers continue to get worse. Now, I agree the Conservatives did not perform well in this, and Nadim Zahawi said they didn't perform well, and he regretted not doing more, and they let a million in there last year. But you can't say that Labour has even started to move forward in this.
Well, they have started. If you look at what's the main issue, let me tell you how. What is the main issue is not the people coming over, in boats. Is the legal migration that?
No, I don't know. I mean, if you were to go to places such as Crowborough, they say it is the people coming over illegally in boats. That is the issue, as they see it, Ali.
Well, Crowborough has just started this, and people are railing against. Labour can't do right for doing wrong. They're trying to get people out of hotels. And they're not being allowed to, get them out of the hotels into, other accommodation.
You honestly think Labour is handling it well?
Yes, under the circumstances. But let's go back to, Zahawi is a tax evader.
He pays the main thing.
That's all right then, isn't it?
No, you can keep saying... Either you accept that this man has had a checkered past in which he should have paid taxes and he paid the fine and he got it wrong and you want to hear from him, or you just write these people off forever. Is that what you choose to do, Ali?
I'm not writing him off forever. I'm saying, people in Glasgow, they shouldn't be talking. So he hasn't got, the moral right, the moral position to start casting aspersions. Look at Jim Ratcliffe. I'm a Manchester United supporter. The guy doesn't pay a penny in income tax.
No.
But
the 3,800 employees he has in the United Kingdom do, so that's quite a lot of tax.
He's his employees that pay the tax, not him. Yeah, isn't it shameful that his employees...
3,800 people paying income tax, that's quite a workforce.
But that's his employees, not him.
No,
he's not him. He doesn't pay... Yes.
Well, then you could argue that Nadim Zahawi... in a way, turns out better than that because he's opted to stay in this country, and he says, try to put it right.
Yeah, but Nadim Zahawi, if he wasn't caught, he would have, got away with it scot-free, wouldn't he?
I have no idea. Who knows? That's certainly a very fair point to make. You may well be right, but no one will ever know. Ali, thank you. Let's see what others make of Ali's assertion that Labour is starting to make its way. And then we come back to story in London, and we know if you're trying to get around and cross the river, which apparently we'll all be swimming in, well, it's not without its pressures.
Nicknamed the Trembling Lady, Albert Bridge is used by 20,000 cars each day, but it's been closed since Monday. I'm LBC's Henry Riley speaking to locals to see what they think's going on.
Too far. We will get into that later in the hour. 9:15 LBC News headlines now from Dominic Ellis.
Leaders from around 50 countries, including Keir Starmer, are heading for talks at a major security summit in Germany. Rules are being tightened around vaping in public spaces in England. And speaking to Nick, a government minister has warned that new school guidance on what to do when children question their gender should...
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays again on the M1 southbound, heading down towards Junction 12 at Flitwick. There's been another accident and two lanes are closed. Also delays on the M25 anti-clockwise at Junction 13 at Staines after an accident much earlier on this morning. And the M40 remains very slow southbound, heading down towards the M25, also after an accident. In Finsbury Park, the Seven Sisters Roads had to be closed southbound, and this is because of emergency works, and it's causing delays all the way back to Manor House. On the the train, severe delays for the Elizabeth line and also delays on Great Western Railway and the Heathrow Express. It's because of the overhead wire problems, and Great Northern can't run southbound from Hartford North to Alexandra Palace.
This is LBC.
Radio turns miles into memories. From sing-alongs with the family, road tripping with your friends, or continuing that conversation right into work. In-car entertainment is getting better and better, allowing you to create more memories than ever before. So make sure your next car suits all your radio needs. Your car connects you to the places you want to go. Your radio connects you to each other and the things you love.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Psst. Hey, dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you're tired of dry, tasteless kibble or slop that plops out of a tin, you're going to want to hear this. Butternut Box makes only the freshest dog food with juicy meat and tender veg. It's the kind of food that makes dogs tongue out, running around the kitchen happy. Let's hope your human heard this too. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern. At ulizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulizprosperity.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come back to a story I've discussed. We will come to more of your views concerning Nadim Zahawi and that first broadcast interview in the previous hour. But a story we've mentioned throughout the course of the show, and it was on the front page of, I think, at least two of your newspapers. Pupils will be allowed to change their gender at school and use different pronouns, including in some rare, I stress, some rare instances, those as young as four. Guidance issued by Bridget Phillipson, the Education Secretary, will allow children to use pronouns of the opposite sex, but only after schools have consulted with parents. It also says clinical advice should be taken into account. Let's bring into the conversation Conservative MP, Shadow Energy Secretary and Minister for Equalities, Claire Coutinho, who joins me now. Any level of concerns with this? Good morning to you.
Good morning. And yes, look, we do have concerns. I think it's a good thing that they've published the guidance, because it's been sat on Bridget Phillipson's desk for a very long time and schools have been struggling to navigate this issue. But there are three very real concerns that I have. One, compared to the guidance that was in draft form under us, they have removed the word parental consent, that phrase consent. So yes, they've talked about engaging with parents, involving parents, but we were very clear that parental consent was required in the vast majority of cases, and that's because parents are the most important people in children's lives. The best way to protect children is to make sure that parental consent is there. The second thing, as you mentioned, is that primary school children will be allowed to be transitioned. You mentioned that they said it was rare, but who is to decide in these schools that they've got a rare case? It is very ill-defined. We have a blanket ban on primary school children being transitioned because, you know, I think they're just far too young. They are not able to understand these very adult concepts. And this has also been a broader trend in how Labour is approaching this issue, because they have a puberty blocker trial, which is happening at the moment. And they said children as young as eight might be able to participate. And I think that is wrong. I think primary school children are far, far too young to really understand the bigger issues at play here. Lastly, there is another issue around pupils and teachers who might have a religious belief, for example, who will not use someone's pronouns, will still treat someone with courtesy and dignity and respect. But we have particular protections for those people, and those have also been removed.
What are your fears here then?
My fears are that if you aren't very clear about parental consent or saying we will not transition primary schools, for example, that you then get mission creep across the education system. And, you know, more and more primary schools feel like they have a rare exceptional case for a 8-year-old, for example. And there isn't really enough sort of bite around those protections that we had put in place. That being said, I do think it is a positive step that there is some guidance. There were some sensible positions, for example, on bathrooms and things like that. So it's not all bad, but we should definitely keep a very careful eye on this and make sure that those areas that I mentioned aren't descending into policy which is not intended.
For those who've not studied as closely as you have, Claire Coutinho, what are the policies as regarding bathrooms?
So they have said that bathrooms should be separated by biological sex.
And you're in agreement with that?
And I'm in agreement with that. For sure, yes, I think that's important for children.
I understand that you are a parent. Do you think a child knows, age 4 or 5, is fully aware of all the complexities of a potential transition?
No, absolutely not. This is the case that I've been making. Take something like the puberty blockers trial. This is medication that we know puts children on a pathway to things like infertility, loss of sexual function. How do you explain that to children who are as young as 8? How could you possibly explain to them what those things mean? And I think there's this real question as well of what they can understand. Because if you say to young children, you can be a boy or you can be a girl, they will most likely believe you. And we know that's not actually the case. Transitioning is not about becoming the other biological sex. There are, you know, medications and things that adults can do, which means that they can live life in a manner which is similar to the opposite sex, but they can't become the opposite sex. And that is the problem, I think, when you start talking about children as young as 4 socially transitioning. I mean, it beggars belief. I think anybody who spent time with 4-year-olds will know that that's not what we should be doing. And, you know, 4-year-olds wake up with all kinds of different views every single day, and we shouldn't be, you know, doing everything that they say. We are the adults. We are meant to protect them. And that's why I think they are wrong in that aspect of the guidance.
Lastly, can you talk us through the political process? The government speaks now of a consultation period. I appreciate you're not a member of the government, but what does that mean? How do you and the Conservatives and others get involved?
Well, but people can then feed in their views, but I think the real challenge with this issue is that it's taken far too long. I think we started working it in 2023. Since the election, it's been sat on. I hope it's not going to be an incredibly long consultation period, but people are allowed to feed in. And usually what that means is there'll be a public document on a website that people can then go in and fill in their views.
Grateful for your time, Claire Coutinho, Shadow Energy Secretary, Shadow Minister for Equalities, Conservative MP, listening to that. And wanting to talk to that is Blythe in Brent. Blythe, you were in teaching, is that in primary school teaching? Is that right? Good morning.
Yes. Yeah. Hi. I was, you know, I loved my job. I was a primary school teacher for over 20 years. But one of the reasons I decided to take early retirement 3 years ago was because of this issue about gender dysphoria, because I knew as a teacher that I was just not willing to lie to children. And so I knew that there would come a time when a child would be in my class potentially and the parents would say, you know, oh, my child wants to identify as the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And I just wouldn't be able to go along with that, because I think the fact what we need to factor in is that may be one child, but the rest of the school and certainly the rest of the class are also going to have to go along with that delusion. And that's really, really dangerous. And I think potentially a safeguarding issue. If you're telling children that they cannot believe what's in front of their own eyes, then that is not safe. And so I just think that considering that the CAS review came out in 2024, and I thought, brilliant, she's identified it's a social contagion, which lots of teachers would already have told you is true, because you've had clusters of particularly teenage girls in high schools all suddenly saying that they're boys. So social contagion happens. We know. You remember being a teenager. You copy your friends.
Yes,
so the fact is that we're going backwards with this guidance because,
you use the word delusion, and I think while that's possibly applicable to 4 or 5-year-olds, do you accept that there is an age where a child, and we're probably talking about secondary school, really does need to address the fact that they want to transition?
Well, I think that you know, all, particularly teenagers, and particularly when your body is changing in puberty, you are, you know, children do explore how they feel. And, you know, that happens, you know, the same with sexuality. And look, I'm a lesbian, so I really do understand this issue in terms of kids will go through a phase when they're finally realizing what their sexuality is. And sometimes that does make you feel a bit odd. And so you might go through a phase. I know loads and loads of lesbian women who suddenly went through a phase when they were a teenager that saw, oh my God, I like other girls. Is there something wrong with me? And sometimes that tips into, oh my God, maybe I should just have been a boy. And these are all things that you can talk to with your parents. You can talk to with psychiatrists, psychologists, and well, they will help you navigate
can
that.
You talk
but
to
you
every
don't
parent,
tell them that they're in the wrong body.
But Blythe, lastly, can you talk to every parent? Are there some children who think, no, I just can't raise this for mum or dad, they'll go crackers?
Yeah, but that's exactly why the curriculum these days shows children through all kinds of PSHE lessons that it's okay to be gay. But the fact is that the Tavistock figures and Dame Hilary Cash showed that the majority of children with gender dysphoria actually grew up to be gay, and they were just going to be ordinary, healthy, gay kids. But what happened was, what came into, you know, and that's why I call it a social contagion, it then became, oh, well, maybe you're in the wrong body, and it was ludicrous. And now this Labour government are going to go back to encouraging that delusion.
Blythe, thank you for your input, particularly someone who was in that field of education. We've got news in a moment. Let's get one more reaction to what we heard from Nadim Zahawi. Ashley's in Beaconsfield. Ashley, your reaction to what you heard from the former Chancellor and Chairman of the Party for the Conservatives. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. He's absolutely correct. And like Nadim Zahawi, we've had much dialogue over the last 5-6 years, Nick. I was a Tory and I followed him. He's absolutely correct.
He's correct in what? This is the last chance saloon for the country?
Yeah.
Right? And everything that Radcliffe said is correct? Is he right with his endorsement of Radcliffe's views?
I think so. I think Radcliffe's language was extremely clumsy. But I think his exertions are correct. And I think Nadim Zahawi nailed it. I don't think anyone feels safe, Nick, and we are losing lots of talent in this country because of the tax implications that the government continue to do on all industries and all people. You know, I've lost lots of friends that have moved to tax havens, as in, you know, Dubai or Monaco. You know, me and my wife are leaving the country. We're going to Australia in November.
Oh, are you? What are you going to do down there?
Yes. We're going to go and have a better standard of living and a better life for ourselves. My twin sister moved over there 11 years ago. Her life is incredible, and we want that. We
what
feel
do you do for a living?
So I run two businesses in the UK, and my wife is a teacher, head of science.
Okay, and so she can get a teaching post down in Oz?
Absolutely, and she can triple her pay in Australia.
And you will run your companies back up here, or you'll close your companies down and start them up in Australia. What are you going to do?
So I will keep my companies here because it's not. I have about 70 employees split across two businesses.
Right.
It's not their fault that the government policy isn't as it should be. So I will run them from Australia, and we'll employ somebody to sort of run it day to day in the UK.
Are you going to Sydney?
Yes.
It's a great town. It's a fantastic town. Ashley, we'll talk again before that, but we're going to miss you. Thank you. You've taken us to the news. Coming up after the news, it appears former Prime Minister Tony, now Sir Tony Blair, agrees with this man.
We will drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, drill, baby, drill. Totally at odds, of course, with Ed Miliband. We'll have more on that after this. It's 9:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC The News. Dominic Ellis.
Reform UK's Nadim Zahawi has told Nick that Sir Jim Ratcliffe was right to raise the issue with immigration in the UK. Sir Jim, who's the co-owner of Manchester United, has been forced to apologise following widespread criticism for claiming that the UK has been colonised by immigrants. The Prime Minister will join more than 50 world leaders at the Munich Security Conference in Germany later. European allies will discuss defence and relations with the United States at a time when America's commitment to NATO has been questioned.
and the government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children. It'll also be prohibited in school playgrounds and outside of hospitals in England. LBC weather: rain with some heavy snow showers at parts of central England, some brighter spells and heavy showers for the south of England, cold and dry. Elsewhere, a high of 11 degrees.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Would you ever take out a loan where the lender can change the terms whenever it likes? The interest keeps rising even when your wages don't. You can't refinance it. You can't escape it.
I think the expansion in higher education has been a good thing for the country.
Over 150,000 students now have a debt of over £100,000. They're calling it a debt sentence. They'll never be able to repay it, and yet we call it a loan.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
We treated pensions like this. We repackaged it, changed the terms whenever the government wants. At a whim, we wouldn't hear the end of it. You'd never do it. It's just because these young people don't vote in those numbers. It's political cowardice.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
Get extra support with Immunace multivitamins, with vitamin D, zinc and selenium, which contribute to the normal function of the immune system. Immunace from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. Verification at vitabiotics.com. From Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd buy a really nice suit.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I'm rich!
But instead of a suit, you buy a jetpack. And ruin your sister's wedding.
So sorry, I'm late.
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come to a story about one Labour leader, one former Labour leader taking on another former Labour leader. The former of the two, of course, you could argue was considerably more successful. I speak of Tony now, Sir Tony Blair. He seems to have Ed Miliband in his sights for his, Mr. Miliband's policies as regards net zero and other green issues. And is there an accord between the former Prime Minister and this man?
The North Sea is incredible. They don't let anybody drill environmentally. They don't let them drill. They make it impossible for the oil companies to go. They take 92% of the revenues. So the oil companies say, we can't do it. I want Europe to do great. I want UK to do great. Sitting on one of the greatest energy sources in the world, and they don't use it.
Drill, baby, drill, from President Trump speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, last month. But what is the reality? Let's turn to Tone Langengen, who's Senior Climate and Energy Policy Advisor for the Tony Blair Institute. I remind you, of course, they authored this report. Are you totally on side, then, with Donald Trump, or is there sort of muted support for where he stands? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Look, so what we believe is that Britain needs an energy strategy reset because the current strategy the government is following is out of time and is not aligned with driving economic growth or delivering climate change, really. We think that both the Clean Power by 2030 mission, which is likely to increase energy bills rather than reduce them, is a problem in a world of in the kind of current technological and AI revolution we're in, and in a cost of living crisis. And when it comes to the North Sea, well, we think it's important that the UK takes advantage of the natural resources it has, gets the kind of fiscal revenues from that, and the reality is as well that North Sea oil and gas is lower carbon than most of what we import.
Why would it appear that Ed Miliband is deaf to these suggestions? I know the answer to that is ask him, but why do you imagine it might be?
I mean, look, I think that Ed is clearly very committed to the cause of climate change. And the way that climate, kind of the processes around climate change has been very focused on setting these targets. And that's how it's been kind of made through the COP process and everything else. So that is why he's kind of continuing on in that world. But what we outline in our report is that, you know, energy is becoming increasingly crucial to kind of hard power competition, which is, you know, the logic that's being followed by the US, by China. And we think it is really important for the UK to kind of follow the same path, because a more powerful UK is also better for climate, because ultimately we will be continuing to championing those values.
If you'll allow that, one of the big challenges facing this country is employment, is jobs. Mr. Miliband has told me time and time and time again on this show that green policies are the future. They will be a massive driver of jobs. I would imagine the Tony Blair Institute would say, well, hang on, if we started going back to the North Sea, that's going to provide a few jobs as well. Is that the reality, Tone?
Yeah, look, I am concerned about the kind of rapid job losses that we're seeing in the North Sea. And I think the reality is that there's not necessarily a transition path for those people. And jobs is an individual thing, right? You know, it doesn't matter if there's a job in Cornwall, if you are based in Aberdeen. So I think that's true. And the other thing that's important is that the real technological revolution that we're going through at the moment is the AI revolution. And that is what is going to kind of be the future kind of basis for UK prosperity. But to really succeed in the AI revolution, we're going to need loads of electricity and loads of power and to power those data centres. And that means that we need to make power available and cheap and plentiful.
Lastly, coming away a little bit, if we can, Tone, from the conversation about the North Sea, a lot of the policies seem to indicate that we're going to need a lot more electricity for our electric vehicles. We need to get rid of boilers and put in heat pumps. I know I'm taking you away from the broad strokes of the North Sea, but where are you on those sort of policies?
I mean, look, I think the most important enabler to those things is to make electricity cheap. That, like, the main thing, the main reason why people make choices is because of cost, right? And at the moment, why would you choose to buy a heat pump when it will cost you way more than using your gas boiler? So I think, you know, our view is that we got to do everything we can to make this attractive for consumers, to make this a transition that people want to make. And that is why we're calling for the Clean Power 2030 mission to be shifted to cheaper power 2030.
Appreciate your time today, Tone. Thank you. Tone Langengen is Senior Climate and Energy Policy Advisor of the Tony Blair Institute, Sir Tony Blair Institute, and they've authored that report. You might have views on that, but it's another former senior politician who's attracting your interest now, and that's Nedim Zahawi, who about an hour ago was giving his first broadcast interview since defecting to Reform UK. He admitted many, many mistakes. He admitted that the Conservative government, let 1 million people in there last year. He admitted he should have been more robust, but broadly, he's saying that this is the last chance of this country, that Nigel Farage is the man to put things right, despite there being a war of words between them in the past. Craig's in Newham. Craig, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Yes, so Nedim Zahawi had to pay nearly £5 million back in tax avoidance. Yeah. So Jim Ratcliffe moved to Monaco, made £4 billion. Which could have been used for the NHS, schools or whatever. Instead, he was given $7 million to aid his firms. So why should we listen to them? And why should we listen to you?
You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to. But I think when you have the opportunity to speak to someone, say, if you come to Mr. Zahawi's case, he's got a personal fortune somewhere in the region of 50 to 60 million pounds. He's a supremely successful businessman. He's opted not to go to Dubai or to Monaco, or to Milan. He says he wants to stay here and try and fight it out for the sake of his country. He served, albeit briefly, as a chancellor. He served as the vaccines minister. He chaired the party. He's an interesting person from whom to hear, surely.
Yeah, he's interesting, but he's not, but if you have a look at both of them, he has tried to take, he avoided tax.
No, I know. Yeah. We know that, yes. So, just write him off then. Just write off a man who arrived here speaking no English as a schoolboy and went on to have about £100 million in the bank. Why on earth should we ever listen to someone who did that? Don't you see, if many people have, and by the way, I'm not seeking to defend Nedim Zahawi for it, many people do bad things. if you want to actually study the history of Winston Churchill, there are some rather choice moments there. Does that mean you write them off forever and you don't listen to the wisdom of someone who has been a supremely successful businessman?
Nick, if you're supposed to be an interviewer, you need to be consistent. As one of your previous callers said, I don't know what they've got on you, but you didn't grill him at all.
Craig, he's not in power. He's admitted that they got it wrong with the last administration. He admitted the 1 million was ridiculous that they let in. He admitted they weren't robust enough about dealing with certain sections of the community. He admitted all. He has no power. He can implement nothing now. He's not even neither in the House of Commons or the House of Lords. So either you allow this man to speak, or you just say no. The fact that you chaired the party, the fact that you were Chancellor,
I haven't got a problem with him speaking. But if you are the interviewer, At least, tickling your stomach, mate.
Oh, God, that's such a boring expression. Dear God, they might invent another one day.
Okay,
once the man has apologised, what do you want me to do? He has no power. Huh? He's not a minister. He's not a Secretary of State. So he's apologised for what he did. He's apologised for what the government did. And he said he should have done more. What do you want me to do then?
I want you to actually be critical about when you're questioning somebody.
So an apology. Okay, so for folk like you, I think we've reached it. Because an apology is never enough. Because you are, and I understand why, you're furious about his tax position, I get it, you will never live. And I do think it's healthier to accept that people get things wrong. Tony Blair got things wrong. Did he get everything wrong? No, he didn't. He did some good things for this country. Margaret Thatcher did some things wrong. Did she? No, she brought some. You have to be more welcoming. But unfortunately, your mind is closed. Your mind is closed to this man, which I think is very, very.
Why do you say that? I've asked you a question, and all you're doing is you're talking over me.
So
what do you do now?
But all you keep saying is why didn't I? I'm completely calm. I assure you, I'm completely. If you think I've lost my temper like that, you really don't know me well enough.
No, it isn't that, though, Nick. I've made a point.
All right.
And you haven't answered it. Because to me, you've mentioned Nadeem Zahawi. You had him on your show. Yeah. You've also mentioned this other guy, Sir Jim Radcliffe.
Sir Jim Radcliffe.
And you've not been critical enough and looking where these guys are coming from.
Well, maybe I think a lot of what they're saying is right. Because I don't think you can sustain an economy with 9 million people on benefits. I don't think that works. And I do think there needs to be a conversation about better integration, particularly in a city such as Leicester, which I know very well, and other cities. What I don't think is that you use language such as colonised. Craig, I must leave it there. Great. Have yourself a good weekend. Thanks very much, sport. Joe's in Croydon. Joe, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, hello. Morning. Quick question. Nadeem Zahawi was talking about the right kind of immigrants, like footballers and so on and so forth. So I was just wondering, then his immigrant background that you just mentioned, where he came here and couldn't speak English,
yes,
and he's now speaking English and so on and so forth. I'm asking, does Britain need more tax-dodging immigrants? Do they need more or do they need less?
Sorry, in what way tax dodging?
Nadeem Zahawi was a tax dodger, no? And was an immigrant.
Oh, I see.
So do we need more or do we need less?
Do you know, I think we should have Nadeem Zahawi on every single week.
No, maybe you shouldn't.
I was talking to the team. This is sensational. Some people just cannot get the blinkers off. Quite extraordinary. No, probably not. But the point he was trying to make, Joe, is that those football players, if they're earning, I don't know, £200,000 a week, I don't know what a football player, think of what they're paying in tax. I think that was the point.
No. I get that point. What I'm asking is, do we need more tax dodging immigrants or do we need less?
We don't need people who break the law. No. We do need people who come in and put businesses together that employ, in some cases, hundreds of people, and indeed now paying tax on a wealth portfolio of around 60, 70 million pounds. Can we have more of those, please? And I think they're probably worth listening to in the field of business more than perhaps some of our current elected politicians. We're definitely going to get Zahawi in, if not on a weekly, certainly on a monthly basis. This is just too much fun. 9:45, coming up after the news, as another bridge here in London across the Thames, in which we'll all be swimming soon, is closed. What are the good folk of Chelsea and Battersea make of it?
In the past, it's been closed intermittently to redo the surfacing.
Right.
And it's like putting a sticking plaster on it.
Yeah, noisy.
when Tom Cruise feels he wants it to do his filming, and then nobody can go on it for 3 or 4 days.
What, out this bridge, Alba
yes,
Bridge?
He'll close it.
Our man Henry Riley went to a bridge too far and will file a report after this. Just turned 9:46, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Reform UK's Nadeem Zahawi has told LBC that Sir Jim Ratcliffe was right to raise the issue of immigration in the UK. The government has published its first guidance for schools in England on supporting children who are questioning their gender, and Keir Starmer is set to meet European allies at a major security conference in Munich later. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK, some brighter spells and heavy showers in the south of England, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 12 at Flitwick. It's following an accident and two lanes are closed. Also on the M25, it's very busy clockwise to Junction 11 at Chertsey. It's because a lorry's broken down and it's taking at least 20 minutes to get through that queue. Long delays in Finsbury Park. The Seven Sisters Road is closed southbound for some emergency works. It's causing delays all the way back to Manor House. On the trains, all services to Paddington remain disrupted because of these overhead wire problems, so that's Elizabeth Line, Heathrow Express and Great Western Railway. And Great Northern are still at a standstill southbound between Stevenage and Alexandra Palace because of some track safety checks.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Denial of inarguable and irrefutable science is now official US government policy, and just like we predicted, all the racists are hot for Jim Ratcliffe.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
At TfO, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new Smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's best family electric SUV of the year. And did we mention that the Smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous What Car award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
For GCSE and A-level success, one name stands out. Justin Craig. Small, tailored group tuition that really works. Justin Craig courses consolidate knowledge, boost confidence and improve technique for mocks, assessments and exams. Available in classrooms and online. One-to-one also available. With over 40 years' experience, Justin Craig has helped more than 100,000 students. For more details, visit justincraig.ac.uk. Justin Craig. Tailored for you.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest, you probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come to events here in London and the River Thames. The river, apparently, if you were listening the first hour, we're all going to be swimming in Teddington fairly soon. Yeah, I'll believe that when it happens. Now, Albert Bridge in southwest London remains closed to traffic after inspectors found cracks in a cast iron component. The much-loved bridge connecting Battersea to Chelsea was opened in 1873, thus is over 150 years old. Kensington and Chelsea Council said all similar components are now being examined using ultrasonic technology. And drivers can expect an update on the repairs later this month. And, of course, if you live that side of London or you commute in and out, you'll know that you've lost a bridge out that way for years. I think that bridge has now been closed for longer than the Second World War. It's about how long it took to fight the entire Second World War, but they can't fix a bridge. So LBC's reporter Henry Riley decided to speak to local residents both sides of the bridge and ask, is it a bridge too far?
One of the oldest bridges in London, recently celebrating its 150th birthday, Albert Bridge is one of two bridges in the capital never to have been replaced, the other being Tower Bridge. Now, it's nicknamed the Trembling Lady due to the reverberations when large numbers of people cross the 19th century structure. But this bridge has been closed since Monday afternoon as a precautionary measure following an inspection where there was a crack found in a cast iron component. Now, it's quite surreal. I'm standing here in the middle of the road in the middle of the day. So let's talk to locals. I wonder if some are secretly enjoying a bit of temporary respite or if they're worried that opening it quickly might be a bridge too far, especially given the structure West Hammersmith Bridge in April. That one had been closed for 7 years. So let's see what pedestrians and cyclists make of it.
We walk across it every day. If it's raining, we do sometimes drive, I have to be honest, because we are quite little and we don't want to turn up at school too wet.
No, that's true.
So, however, I'd be really happy if they stopped vans going over it.
It's good news as a local, then.
Being very selfish, yes, but I don't think that people on Battersea Bridge looking at the traffic queues probably feel the same, but it is very nice to see it like that.
But not if you're a taxi driver, not great, I suppose.
If you're a taxi driver, well, maybe it's more money, maybe it takes longer.
In the past, it's been closed intermittently to redo the surfacing.
Right.
And it's like putting a sticking plaster on it. But my fear is there's something bigger, and it may be a
Hammersmith Bridge.
It's a shame that we haven't looked after some of our Victorian structures in more detail over the years. And for the local residents, it's inconvenient if you're driving.
Quite just nice, the cob walking across saying how divine.
So selfishly, it's quite
selfishly
good.
It's delicious. Yeah. I don't have a car, so completely healthy.
I live down there, so I walk across the bridge quite a lot. That, you can sit on that one for half an hour.
Battersea Bridge.
Battersea
Bridge.
You can sit on Battersea Bridge for half an hour on a bus, waiting for it to move.
Very
and
true.
The only noise you was when Tom Cruise feels he wants it to do his filming, and then nobody can go on it for 3 or 4 days.
Well, out this bridge,
You're crazy. That noise.
Experts say that this bridge now requires constant care and attention. Since 2024, HGV drivers can be fined if they exceed a 3-ton weight limit. But, I mean, it's used by 20,000 cars each day. And Kensington and Chelsea Council say that they do want to fully reopen this bridge as soon as possible.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting, as soon as possible. I remember when they said that, when they first closed Hammersmith Bridge, which is all but seven years ago. So we can start, fight and win an entire world war, but we can't fix a bridge. What does that tell you about the state of some of our local authorities? Let's talk about London with Manoir in Havering. Manoir, the point you want to make. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Nick. How are you?
All right, sir. Go ahead.
Just want to point out that when Nadim Jahadi was claiming about the crime rate in London and Birmingham, but according to government data, compared to 2025 to this year, the crime rate went down by 19%.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. They'll be reviewing how certain crimes are dealt with. One of the great tricks that they had was that a crime, quotes, was dealt with if you gave an insurance number. And that would go on the books as, yep, crime dealt with. Wasn't dealt with at all. The person was still running around with your car. I speak from personal experience or whatever else it might be. So don't buy those figures. They're lies, Manuel.
I mean, okay, that's fine. You can say you don't buy those figures.
But
people who live in London, like you and me, And I've been living here for the last 15 years. So, I mean, you can see by your own eye or your own experience how the crime was before and how the crime is now.
Yeah, it's much worse now.
Yeah, and then I think I don't feel like it's going worse.
You don't feel it's worse?
No, I live in East London, and I mean, compared to the last...
Do you not see the video footage of mostly, not always, mostly young women coming out of tube stations having their mobile phones nicked? Do you not see that?
Yeah.
Do you not see the video footage of mostly, not always, young men racing around some streets with machetes? You don't see that?
Yeah.
Did you hear about the stabbing at a school? I can't say much more because there are now charges, but a stabbing at a school, two stabbings actually, at a school this week. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, but the irony...
Are we living in the same London?
I mean, I live in London, I guess I live in the same... But the irony is that this part, I mean, the Najim Jahari, he was in the party in Conservative...
I know, and he admitted they failed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but now they come to tell us that everything is broken. That's... That
well, all right, I wish you nothing but safety in Havering. It's because the bit of London that I know, certainly central London, where I make a point now if I come out of a tube station, no way am I going to pick up my phone. No way. In fact, I normally go to a shop doorway and use the phone, and I see other folk doing the same. But, Manuel, I'm glad you feel safe, and I wish you and your family nothing but more safety. Thank you for that. Let's finish with a story I know we would have done more on, save for the fact that so many other stories around, which is this policy as regards children. In some instances, primary school children. Monica's in Richmond. Monica, you're on the radio. Good morning. Your take on what you've heard so far on this.
Good morning. So the government line is we're putting children first, but once again, trans people are treated like some holy caste, and everyone has to play along with it without question. One child says they're trans, and every other child, their parents and the teacher, has to play along with the delusions of that one child.
Well, the child's parents would be consulted, Monica.
Well, the child's parents, I'm sorry, but we have to...
Oh, you mean all the other children's parents have to go along with it, you mean? You don't
yeah,
mean, I
yeah,
see, sorry, I thought you meant that child. Sorry, yeah, go
yeah,
on.
But
go
just
on.
Going back to the child's parents, yeah. I think we need to be a bit cautious about trusting the judgment of any parent that considers treating their four-year-old child as the opposite sex. Are they too weak to say no? Is there a touch of Munchausen? They need help if they're treating their child as the opposite sex.
Do you accept some children later in life, not at the age of four, will need to explore transitioning?
They have to learn to accept that they will never change their sex. They need to learn to accept that. If they have a gender diagnosis or what have you, that doesn't make them the opposite sex, I'm afraid, and they need to learn to accept that.
Someone who, who's born a man but is a biological male but wants to be female, they just have to accept that they stay as a male, are you saying?
Are you trying to say that they turn into a woman?
No, I'm saying that we offer them all sorts of sympathy and in some instances, medical help and emotional help. Otherwise, there's a chance they'll take their lives.
So they're threatening to... If we don't indulge their delusions, they'll kill themselves.
Well, That is a reality in some instances, and, you know, I appreciate you see it as delusions. For others, it's massive life-changing scenarios that has to be addressed. Monica, I wish we had more time, and I've rudely already gone over that. Monica, have a safe weekend down in Richmond. We will return to this conversation, as I'm done for another day, I'm done for another weekend. Miss any of today's show, get onto the free Global Player app or the LBC app. You can stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. The LBC app free now from your app store. I'm done for the week. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be with you Monday morning from 7. Meantime, have a safe weekend.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and I remain to be convinced about the wisdom of helping the most disgraced and ridiculous Tories of the last 20 years to rehabilitate themselves by embracing the racism of Nigel Farage's reform, even if they come from ethnic minorities themselves. But Nadeem Zahawi made such an absolute plum of himself on Nick's programme today that I'm beginning to think I might start inviting some of them on. I want, therefore, to begin with a question that takes us back to Jim Ratcliffe. Cliff's hideous comments and utter failure to apologise. The long queue of out-and-out racists or crypto-racists pretending that it's all about the misuse of the word colonised or that the stats don't matter notwithstanding. What's really going on here?
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the former Chancellor Nadeem Zahawi has told LBC that Sir Jim Ratcliffe was right to make controversial comments about immigration. The co-owner of Manchester United has apologised after claiming the UK has been colonised by immigrants. Sir Jim has faced widespread criticism and the Football Association are reportedly examining the remarks. But Mr. Zahawi, who recently defected from the Tories to Reform UK, has told us he thanks Sir Jim for raising the issue.
His misspeaking has actually raised the debate to a level where we're actually, people like Nigel are saying, hold on a second, let's talk about this. Let's just discuss, is this really sustainable, or should we have a big, big change in our country about how we deal with migration?
You can read and see more of Nadeem Zahawi's exclusive interview on the LBC app. A lawyer representing families of the victims of a paedophile nursery worker has told LBC they want to see tighter vetting rules in wake of the case. Vincent Chan was sentenced to 18 years in prison after admitting 56 offences, some of which were carried out at Bright Horizons Nursery in West Hampstead. That branch has since closed. Legal expert Alison Miller represents families whose children attended the nursery and has spoken to LBC.
What the families in this case have been calling for is a system whereby parental concerns could be given and tracked by an independent body so that there would be someone to complain to other than the nursery provider who's, you know, it may not be in their interest to take a long-term approach to make sure that staff in the nursery setting are properly looked at over time to make sure there are no red flags.
Bright Horizons says keeping children safe is their most important responsibility, adding that Vincent Chan broke that trust. Leaders from around 50 countries, including Sir Keir Starmer, are heading for talks at a major security summit in Germany. They're expected to discuss defence and relations with the United States at a time when America's commitment to NATO has been questioned. The government has published its first guidance for schools in England on supporting children who are questioning their gender. It says schools should not initiate steps towards social transitioning, as such pupils changing their name, pronouns or clothes. And the government is to consult on plans to ban vaping in cars carrying children. It'll also cover school playgrounds and outside of hospitals in England. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 21 at 10,423. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain with some snow showers affecting central parts of the UK today. Bright spells and some heavy showers for the south of England, cool and dry elsewhere. A high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Very good morning to you. 4 minutes after 11 is the time. And I mean, I don't know if it is reluctantly the right word. Reluctantly, we return our attention to the racism of Jim Ratcliffe, who pays zero income tax in this country on his personal income, but is furious with the immigrants who paid last year an estimated £17 billion. Should we start with a few numbers? How wrong was his figure yesterday? Do you think he was out by 150%, 250%, or 350%? He was out by 350%, which of course doesn't stop the likes of Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail or Nadeem Zahawi explaining, no, he was actually right. He was 350% wrong. But he was actually right. And of course, the other element of this conversation that was completely missing yesterday is that immigration is plummeting at the moment. Annual net migration went down by over 100,000. It practically halved. The surge came after the Brexit that all these clowns voted for, because you had to replace people who had been told to sling their hook with people that you would shut your eyes and pretend weren't then required to come here. Many of whom, of course, brought families, which I'm fine with, but the likes of Nadeem Zahawi and friends, Dick Littlejohn, apparently are not. There's this wonderful hypocrisy and dishonesty from these men and women, Because how can you integrate if you're not working age? If you're going to come here as a child on your own or as an old age pensioner, what does integration look like? So the only people who can be properly invited to integrate by, I don't know, for example, having a son who gets elected mayor of your capital city three times on the run, that they are working age. But of course, idiots and racists like Zahawi say fighting age. Oh, you can't call him a racist because he's from an ethnic minority himself. Yes, I can. And I just did. I want to focus on that today. Not just him, because goodness me. Did I get the time wrong at the top of the show again today? Oh, well done, mate. It's 6 minutes after 10. Good Lord, imagine that. Imagine only getting 2 hours of me today. There'd be petitions in Parliament. There'd be marches on the streets. People would be in Leicester Square with homemade banners complaining, what do we want? More James. When do we want it? Now. 350% wrong. How wrong was I when I said the time was 6 minutes after 11 a moment ago? The point, of course, is this. When Jim Ratcliffe talks about immigration, I don't know whether or not he is a massive racist or just a massive hypocrite, but I do know that they dream of a day when businesses are free to be even more rapacious. I'm going to tell you a story, and it is a fascinating story, and it's a story you may already know. It's the story of the New York meatpacking district that was relayed to me yesterday by an absolute genius called Eric Schlosser, author of Fast Food Nation, which celebrates its 25th anniversary this year. New York's meatpacking district was also the subject of some extraordinary investigative journalism by a writer called Upton Sinclair, whose work you are actually familiar with, even if you don't know it, because he wrote a book called Oil that got turned into a film called There Will Be Blood, starring Daniel Day-Lewis and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson and produced by, I only discovered as I was preparing to conduct the interview yesterday, Eric Schlosser. And Eric was reminding me yesterday, because I read the book 20 years ago, he was reminding me yesterday that the cow is unique in the annals of slaughterhouses. So chickens and pigs are of a sufficiently similar size for the production process, the slaughter process, to have been largely automated. Because chickens and pigs are usually more or less the same size. You can use machines to, forgive me, to dismember them. But cows are not, I learned, or they're too big for the process. So cows, the meatpacking process, the dismembering, the slaughtering of cattle in the United States of America is still conducted by human beings, by a long line, a production line of human beings with sharp knives. And the people that own these companies make more money the faster that line moves. This isn't exactly rocket science. The faster the line moves, the more beef comes out at the end of it, and the more money the owners make. But there's another factor to these calculations. And that, of course, is that the faster the line moves, the more people get hurt, the more people get injured. So the faster the line moves, the more money people make. The faster the line moves, the more people get hurt. Now, you could loosely say the more money people like Jim Ratcliffe make and the more people like you and me or our friends and family get hurt. Right? That's just